This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, afternoon delight here at Gillette Stadium.
Paul had to gather his thoughts before.
Not surprisingly, PFW in progress, not prepared for the beginning of the show. Paul Perillo and Andy Hart with you on a Wednesday. No Fred Kirsch, no Tom Casale, so we'll have to get by at 50% today. Can you help me out?
Which way'd you come in?
See what I did there?
No, really, don't leave, though.
PFW in progress in the off season. Andy is still angry, for those of you who have not checked out the mailbag on this week's Ask PFW. Angry Andy is still angry, still out of control,
Gary?
Still embarrassing himself and in the organization by extension. But anyway, we will do our best to get you through the next couple hours, answer any and all of your questions. Off-season is underway, not quite to the free agency period, not quite to the combine, but we're getting close. Andy and Tom will be heading out 1 week from today to Indianapolis to check out some of the draft hopefuls and Patriots hopefuls. And
see, my boy's not going to throw.
Which,
well, there's rumors that they're not going to do stuff, and then Jeff Fisher says they should, they got to do this. You know how that changes sometimes. Guys say they're not going to, and then they get there and they cave
peer
into
pressure. Peer pressure.
You know, somebody like Bill Belichick says, he should be throwing. And the guy goes, okay.
Well, Bill Belichick won 3 Super Bowls.
Right.
He says, I should
throw. But yeah, there's a lot on the horizon. I was looking at various things. Next week, Tom and I, as you said, going to the combine. Combine starts.
Right.
Same day is the last day for teams to designate franchise and transition players.
That is correct. February 23rd.
Obviously of note for the Patriots with Adam Vinatieri. Of note, a lot of other areas. I was reading a John Abraham thing. Who wants to get the, quote, hell out of New York, and but they may franchise him, try to trade him. They're in all kinds of trouble.
I think John Abraham would be a very key player for Eric Mangini if he wants to implement the same style of defense. I think he would be a guy that they could use as that outside linebacker. I know they did that a little bit with him this past year, but I think full-time he could be a very disruptive player, both as a rusher and as an athletic guy to drop in coverage. You know, like they've used Rabel in the past, McGinnis, Colvin, you know, here in the Patriots system. I would think that he's a guy that Mangini would really, really want to hang on to.
But they have a lot of money trouble there. That's what the whole story was about. If they try to, they're 26 over right now, over the cap, which they obviously have to be under. $92 million projection for the cap, March 3rd. As of right now, there are some rumors that you know, with all the CBA negotiations, there's an outside chance that free agency could be bumped back a month to April 1.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, as long as a month. We talked about a week, but as long as a month.
And but some of the names I think are interesting. One, Jay Fiedler, that they're going to cut, because I personally believe there's a decent chance you could see Jay Fiedler here based on how much Bill Belichick loves him.
I don't often agree with you, but that's one that I do agree with.
And another guy is Kevin Mawai. Is going to be cut probably, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy the Patriots
looked
into.
I think that he has extensive
injuries.
Yeah, I think that the reason he's going to get cut, I think, has less to do with his salary as it does with his long term.
And Ty Law would be another guy they're going to say bye bye to.
I saw a report today specifically about Ty Law that he's out. I also read somewhere that he is looking for
$10 million.
$10 million in bonuses,
so
you can kiss the Patriots goodbye. You're not going to give him $10 million.
I would assume that. Although the story out of New York, or New Jersey, actually, saying that the Postons are on record saying, yeah, we know we're done here, listed the Jaguars, the Chiefs, and the Patriots as three potential suitors for the services of Ty Law. But
Jaguars, Chiefs, and who?
Patriots.
Patriots.
Two teams that he visited last year.
Jaguars are a team that I think would be somewhat intriguing to him.
Okay. Good.
Gary, scurrying out of the
room. Del Rio.
Oh, I see.
You ran that fast for that?
I'm glad it was very important. Jaguars, I think, Andy, are a team that's kind of intriguing because, you know, it's a. Would they go 13-3? 12-4? They were
12-4.
12-4. A team that's not theoretically all that far away. Team in Florida, even though it's much more northern Florida rather than where Ty, you know, is in the Miami area.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some I think that's an intriguing possibility.
Could be. In the type of place where they've been building for 2 to 3 years now, may feel they're ready to make a run deep into the playoffs with a veteran coming off a pretty good year, and assuming that his health can only improve heading into next year, although I'm not sure that's a safe assumption based on some of the things you hear about the injury he had and blood and arthritis and that kind of thing. But assuming he can play at least as much as he did this year when he had a career-high 10 picks, made the Pro Bowl, he could be a fit in Jacksonville or, you know, Kansas City if they think with Herm Edwards maybe they're ready to make a run here. Under a new coach and with Larry Johnson and kind of the changes they've undergone there. But I think the Patriots is an outside chance if he's really, truly looking for $10 million. Of course, doesn't mean he's going to get it just because he's looking for it, and doesn't mean any of those teams we're talking about are going to be willing to give him $10 million in bonus money. Our good buddy over at Pro Football Talk had some notes today regarding the CBA, contract extensions, free agency, and how it's going to be very murky waters for agents, teams, the money involved, bonus money, incentives going on the cap. Basically, because there's no cap in 2007 as of right now, if you have those incentives that in a normal year you earn them and would go on the 2007 cap.
If they're not likely to be earned, they go on the following year's cap. But
there's no cap, so they go on this year's cap.
Everything goes on this year's cap.
So there's the potential for guys to be cut late in the year so that other guys' incentives can get under the cap.
Yeah, we're going to get into all of this and anything else that you want to talk about. We have free agency. We have the CBA issues that continue to lurk. I think, you know, a month or two ago when we started talking about the potential for an uncapped year in 2007, I think we all were in agreement that it was kind of an intriguing possibility, but probably unlikely. Well, as time has gone by, I think it's become more and more likely that, you know, more and more of a possibility that it could happen. You know, and we're going to continue to talk about that. But anything, anywhere you want us to go, we can go. Email us at webradio@patriots.com. Once again, webradio@patriots.com, best way to get a hold of us. You can also give us a call. Talk to Gary. He's lonely. He's set to go on vacation, as usual.
Gary, where are you going? Hawaii, Seattle, Las Vegas?
Hawaii.
All of the above? I got nothing.
Sorry, they messed with my microphone. Two of those three.
Nice.
So you're supposed to guess the two out of the
Vegas
three?
And Hawaii.
No, I knew what they were.
I was guessing a stopover in Vegas on the way to Hawaii.
All right, anyway, you can give us a call and talk to Gary about Hawaii and give him some suggestions, even though Gary's already been there. 508-543-7482 is the number.
Is this a boys' vacay or? Ooh, thumbs up.
Giddy up.
Giddy up.
Golf trip. My buddy's getting married.
Golf trip, in quotes.
I like
at least
those.
That's what I told her.
I like those golf trips.
So he's getting married there?
No, it's my buddy who's stationed out there.
Okay. I see. Do they have gentlemen's clubs in Hawaii?
Yes, they do.
I don't know. The more I travel the country, I get things. Jacksonville, where you go to, like, bikini bars or whatever, and I never know what the rules are with juice and pastry and pasties.
I'm doing good, baby. How you doing?
There is a topless donut shop in Portland, Maine. I'm sure you can get pastries there. But, yeah, you never
You would know.
I've never been.
You would know.
I just saw the sign on the exit one
day. Yeah, you got the cruller.
Good one.
He cracked himself up with that one.
He did. That even one-upped his Del Rio run. Okay, sorry.
All right, so we're talking about free agency. We're talking about potential Patriots, you know, maybe coming in. A lot of the names that we've heard that we've and none of these names are names that have been talked about by the Patriots. So let's get that out there first and foremost. The Patriots have not expressed any interest publicly to anybody. And they
Except
won't.
Jay Fiedler, because we know how much Bill loves Jay Fiedler.
So when we talk about Jay Fiedler, that's our, our
opinion. I can find a quote about Bill saying how great Jay Fiedler is.
I bet you I could find a quote about Bill saying how every player that they are about to play is great.
That's not true. Pete Kendall's going to be released, and I don't have quotes about Bill saying good stuff about him. It's all bad.
But anyway, the names that we're talking about, the Brian Finnerins, the Joe Juravicius, Antoine Randle, these are all...
Those Joe Juravicius rumors are out there.
I'm dying to say that one. But that's
get it, Gary, all, Joe Juravicius
all opinion,
rumors.
All conjecture, nothing, no fact-based, reports by any
Sorry.
All right.
Perosi, you want to give out the email address?
I have.
Oh.
Several times.
You really?
Webradio@patriots.com, that's the third time.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
Webradio@patriots.com. See, if you didn't watch Maury Povich and try to see... shocking sex crimes and cheating men caught on tape.
Well,
maybe you'd know that I
you were watching too when the guy got knocked the bleep out.
Well, I liked when the guy got hit. That was pretty funny.
About 8 times.
That was funny.
At least put your hands up.
I don't think the guy was capable of defending himself.
I think he was knocked out on the first punch.
I think he was drunk.
Oh, he was drunk. Oh, that could be. All I know is he got his butt whooped.
It was like an episode of Cops, like on steroids.
That was good, though. I enjoy this. This will be a good change for the background. But so do we have any pre-mails?
There are some emails, but I also, before we get to the emails, we're just into the show.
You have specific topics you'd like to address?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to make sure that we get everything addressed that needs to be addressed here.
Is there any news this week?
No, I'm not sure.
Last we met?
A wide receiver that they signed named Zuriel Harris.
I thought it was Smith.
Zuriel Smith.
He's a big name. We'll call him Z.
The reason I said Zuriel Harris is because Miami had a wide receiver in the 80s called Zuriel Harris.
Perfectly logical.
Let me think of that. Anyway, but yeah, Zuriel Smith, who, and I will read the one email on this topic that has come in already. It's by our good friend Tom Casale.
Oh, okay.
And they signed him late last week, I think.
Yes.
So that wasn't before our last show.
I don't think so. I think that was like Thursday.
Yeah, it was after our podcast, which,
oh,
by the
indeed.
Way, we probably should mention that. We shouldn't mention that?
I don't know.
Why shouldn't we mention that?
I don't know.
Well, we have emails on the subject.
All I know is I heard we may not be doing one this Friday for legal reasons.
Well, that would be great news, to be honest with you. All right, then I won't mention that.
I just don't want to get in trouble. I had a tough day yesterday. I got to be careful here.
Well, you can't get in any more trouble than you got in yesterday, believe me.
Oh.
Anyway, Tom Casale checking in. He says he might not be there physically this week, but he does have something to say. Zuriel Smith sucks. You hear me? He sucks. I've seen every game the guy has ever played in, and yes, I've seen all of his whopping 9 career receptions, and he's an awful football player. And for those of you who think he will be a good return man, he sucks at that, too. He's not fast, and Andy Hart-like fart will knock his scrawny butt down every time. If someone asked me to name the top 10 worst NFL football players I've ever seen in my lifetime, that stiff would be on the list. As a matter of fact, if that bum makes the final roster, I'll kiss Fred Kirsch's naked ass on Patriots Today. Believe that. And that's Tom.
God, I hope he makes the roster.
That would be just another example of Tom running his mouth off.
Tom knows there's like one
way. I think I'll hang on to that email.
P.S. Great ass PFW, Andy. Make sure the readers and listeners always know that this is our world and we just let them live in it. So that's angry Tom, but, you know, that's not really angry Tom. That's Tom as he is.
That's just Tom being Tom.
That's Tom being Tom. But anyway, he's a wide receiver who was a seventh-round pick from Dallas in 2003. Practice squad kind of guy, kicked around 9 career receptions. As
out of football this year.
Out of football last year, did nothing. So this is not an impact signing by any stretch.
No, he's an NFL Europe type, a camp guy. They always have, what, 12, 14 receivers?
Well, you need a lot of receivers and a lot of defensive backs because that's the guys that do all the running.
Right.
And you need that. You need a lot of depth.
Plus, when you're not going to play guys in games, you need guys in games, too. You're not going to play Deion Branch and your top guys. So
when you want to have a 4 wide receiver set in the preseason in the second half of the second preseason game,
you need to have
9-10 receivers.
K. Sam and Zuriel Smith, Harris, whatever you want to call him.
Smith's
fine.
His name is Smith, Andy.
Good.
Don't mock him.
But other than that, I don't think there's been much news.
Is there any other?
We spoke of the coach that they added to the.
We did,
right?
Well, we did
that last week. With all these things we do, podcast. Did we mention it in a podcast?
We mentioned it on the podcast. I know that we did do a podcast last Friday.
Right.
Our roster report, and evidently I wasn't aware of this, but evidently we're not going to be doing one this Friday, as we work out the kinks and the legalities of the whole thing, I guess.
And the technology and some different things.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
not sure.
Anyway.
But what was his name?
I don't remember.
I got his name. He's out of the South Dakota School of Mines. Not mimes. Mines, as in where they get coal from.
Right.
Not the guy
who
pretends he's in a box.
It's an NAIA school that went about 1-9 last year, or 1-8.
Yeah, with like a three-man. He was the defensive coordinator, I believe. They had like a three-man coaching staff. Has previously spent time working at Bryant University in Rhode Island.
So he also had to teach kinesiology and
probably because their defensive coordinator was also like the strength coach and the equipment guy and the bus driver.
Full programs.
Right. But you know, he's a low level coaching assistant, basically.
Right.
But so they have not added a coach in any way.
Which I would expect them to do, and Andy and I have talked about this, we'd expect them to add an assistant on the defensive side of the ball somewhere.
Right. There are a couple names out there that Chuck Knox Jr. had been talked about, and a quarterback's coach, or was that him?
No, Chuck Knox Jr. was a defensive backs guy.
They also talked about a quarterback's coach, and I'm drawing a blank on the name right now, but it was, again, another low-level assistant coach, a position guy to come in, and that they'll groom, and 3 years from now will be the defensive or offensive coordinator. That's how things work around here, pretty quickly. Anyway, anything else? More Eric Mangini stuff. I'm hearing word out of New York that a lot of people not happy in the early stages of the Eric Mangini regime.
That
reporters have been a little bit cranky, and even some personnel in the Jets themselves unhappy with the changeover from laissez-faire lifestyle under Mr. Herm Edwards and the Bill Belichick.
And I would imagine that's a big change.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to go from any kind of openness whatsoever, open lines of communication at all, to the Belichick system would be a big, big change in approach. And, you know, even with when Pete Carroll was here in 99, Andy, there wasn't necessarily, I mean, it's night and day compared to that, but Pete Carroll wasn't necessarily like an over-the-top, open-to-the-media kind of guy. Like, you didn't have constant access to him.
Woo!
Now, he had more access to him than you did with Bill and some of the assistants as well. But it wasn't really, you know, I take from what I've read about the Herm Edwards situation in New York, that seems a lot more open than it was with Pete Carroll. So I can only imagine the difference going from that situation to complete lockdown under Eric Mangini. And you had mentioned a story that, you know, you just touched upon it. Some of the personnel, I won't say specifically what they did, but some of the personnel for the Jets had talked to someone, you know, here with the Patriots and was saying how, you know, much of a change and just the whole atmosphere and the environment has changed, what, you know, for he said, you know, for the worse. So Eric better win.
I was going to say he's putting pressure on himself because he'll if internally they're not happy, and then you have Rich Simony and some of the beat writers unhappy, they'll squish you.
And this wasn't media guys either. Let me stress that. No. This was someone that worked for the Jets who talked to someone who worked for the Patriots and was saying how, my God, you know, this guy is out of his mind. So he does put a lot of pressure on himself to win and win quickly, much like Bill did, and Bill won. So he was able to.
And it's similar. I mean, the Patriots had awful cap issues when he came, and, you know, Eric's facing similar things there now. I mean, they're trying to get Curtis Martin to restructure, has $6 million salary, $8 million cap number. They're trying to get Chad Pennington to take a major pay cut in terms of salary. They have John Abraham, who they may or may not franchise get. I mean, they have a lot of questions facing them and you know, have to kind of go through these waters cautiously, or it could go two ways. You know, you could have a bill like, okay, we cleaned it out in 1 year, we're ready to start over, or it's going to hinder you for the next 4 years if you don't handle it necessarily in a proper manner.
Could you see talking about Ty Law again? I'm surprised that they haven't really done anything. The Dolphins haven't really done anything, because I would think that would be a team that he would maybe take less money to play for
at home.
And, you know, I think Miami is pretty close to being a competitor, you know, for certainly for a playoff spot, maybe not to win it all, but for a playoff spot, I don't think they're that far away.
Right. And they had that young guy starting
Travis Daniels.
Could be.
You know, and they still have Madison, right? He's not a free agent, right?
I do not have my list.
Madison.
I don't know. But, that's because anywhere he goes, he's not playing full time. We saw that last year.
Well, can he be conceivably in better health this year?
Yeah, I don't think so. As I said earlier, I think reading about blood flow and arthritis, those aren't necessarily things that just heal on their own. Those are some things that even with time don't necessarily get better. So I wonder if he's ever going to be at 100% health again and just play every snap of every game. And so I have those doubts. But, you know, if he can go somewhere and play 60% of the time, if it fits in with the other personnel that's on the team, he clearly shows that he can still be productive. So, you know, I think he still has a decent amount of value.
All right, so what players are you looking for in free agency? What positions, specific players are you interested in? You know, realistic now. I'm not talking about, I'd like them to go out and sign, Edgerrin James and Sean Alexander. I don't think those are realistic possibilities. Realistically, who do you think the Patriots might be interested in, and who do you want them to be interested in, and what positions do you think need to be addressed, both in free agency, maybe in the draft or whatever? Webradio@patriots.com. You can send us your emails on those topics. We can get to some of the pre-mails that we
really?
Had. Sure. We can get to some of those emails that we had. I don't think they're going to use the same approach.
I don't think the Patriots will change their approach.
What?
There you go. So we'll get to some of those emails right now. And Jonathan is up first. He has Andy Hart, the untold story.
This isn't Jonathan Kraft, is it?
No. This is Jonathan in Washington, D.C.
Craig, thank you.
All people talk about around here are the Washington Redskins. And yes, I get a perverse thrill whenever the team loses and everyone around town gets depressed and despondent. It's hilarious. And I get to feel superior. So I understand why Andy hates the Patriots and revels in their misfortunes. Then again, I don't work for the Washington Redskins. He thinks you hate the Patriots.
First of all, I've never said that I hate the Patriots. Second of all, I don't technically work for the New England Patriots. My check says NPS, I believe, on it or something.
I work for the Patriots.
You
anyway,
do?
Yes.
Your check says New England Patriots?
No, but I work for the Patriots. Oh. Without the Patriots, I'd have no job. NPSLL, whatever, would not hire me if the Patriots didn't exist.
I don't even know what it is. But
what motivates this email is not so much Andy's hatred of the Patriots.
Again, I never said I hate the
Patriots. Which is well documented and fairly old news.
Where is it well documented? Because I never said I hate the Patriots.
What concerns me is that Andy's Patriot hate seems to be morphing into a sort of generalized misanthropy. Did I pronounce that right?
I don't know. Misanthropy? I don't even know what it means.
It's misanthropy.
Misanthropy? I don't think so.
Misanthropy?
Could it be that some personal frustrations, perhaps sexual,
all right,
I'm motivating the barrage of listener-directed excoriation? A lot of big words here, Jonathan. You gotta dumb it down a little if you want us to understand. I got excoriation, but I'm not so sure on misanthropy.
Misanthropy?
Or is it merely his unrequited man love for Bo Jackson? Just some food for thought. That's John in, Virginia.
The most accurate part of that is my man love for Bo Jackson.
Love the show, including Andy.
Most accurate part is definitely the love for Bo Jackson. Greatest athlete that ever lived.
So what say you, Andy? Why do you hate the Patriots?
I say I don't hate the Patriots. I've never said I did hate the Patriots. So it's clearly not well documented.
Well, as a guy who has in the past been accused of hating the Patriots, Andy, which nothing could be further from the truth. I've been a season ticket holder for a lot of years. How do you respond to that?
How do I respond to what?
People say you don't like the Patriots. Why do you? I mean,
I don't know where people get that from. Maybe because I'm somewhat objective and don't just go, Patriots are great, they're going to win every
game.
It's
not just objectivity. It's you have, like, some perverse thrill when they lose.
No, that's not true. From the day where I made a prediction?
Right. I think that's what it stems from. You wanted to be right on your prediction.
My prediction was accurate.
But you wanted to be right.
I'd rather be right. I want to be right 100% of the time.
I think that's why people
never
happens, like the Patriots.
But I want to be right 100% of the time.
All right. I'll let you off the hook on that one, but I'm not buying. Buying or selling?
You don't want to be right?
I'm not buying your explanation.
You don't
want
to be right?
I wanted the Patriots to lose.
What game was that?
Denver?
So I was right. Yes. I thought so. Everything I said unfolded.
This has nothing to do with right and wrong.
Yeah, it does. I don't hate the Patriots. I just want to be right. Sometimes I pick against them. That happens. Sometimes I think the other team, the location, whatever it is, the game is a poor matchup. I think they can lose. And when I predict them to lose, I want to be right. I think it enhances my credibility, my objectivity.
You have no credibility.
Because I pick them 99% of the time.
Well, that's true. And I pick them all the time as well. I mean, I think I picked against them 4 or 5 times this year. But for the most part, I mean, that's...
You got to.
Yeah.
And for the most part, you're right. Because for the most part, they win.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, 18 games counting the playoffs. So more often than not, I pick for them, and they reward me by winning more often than not.
Do we need to point out that I went 10-1 in the postseason with my predictions?
You did go 10-1. It was a very impressive postseason. Andy Hart went 10-1. That's pretty good.
I like being right.
Anyway, Dave is next up. He says, hi, guys, and Lori. Unfortunately, Lori is not here with us today. Everybody taking the day off today.
But
they're not really taking the day off because they're all around. Well, Tom's not here. But Fred's here, but just not on the show. Lori's probably working on a show of her own for Patriots Today. A couple of points and a quick question. Firstly, here in the UK, the Super Bowl finishes about 3 in the morning. Please get the Pats back in it again next season. We need the excitement of those last-second field goals to keep us awake. Also, I'm a big Rolling Stones fan and have been forever, but unfortunately have to agree with you guys. They stunk. Secondly, about this week's Ask PFW, is Clark Campbell mad? Clark Campbell, I think, is the one who made fun of Patriots Today. Patriots Today is a great show. For those of us outside the U.S., this and PFW in Progress are great for our weekly Patriots updates. Lastly, over here, there is still a fair bit of talk of a regular season game being played at the new Wembley Stadium in London, probably between two East Coast teams. Do you think there would be any chance of the Patriots being one of those teams? Thanks, guys, and thanks for the podcast. I can now listen in peace. That's Dave. I don't know of any progress being made in terms of playing a regular season game in London. I know for a fact that Tagliabue at the Super Bowl stated emphatically there will not be a regular season game played outside of the U.S. this year. Last year they had the Niners.
Oh, really? This rumor's not for this year?
The Niners-Cardinals game that was put regular,
oh, I know that.
Regular season.
I thought this rumor was a regular season game in England.
Tagliabue said they will not. He does not foresee a regular season game played outside of the U.S. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be. He said he didn't foresee
it. Did I misread this rumor about England?
I just don't know if it's this year.
Oh no, I thought it was this season. I thought it was lumped in with they were saying there's a lot going on with the schedule.
I read Tagliabue's transcript of his State of the League address. And he said that it wouldn't be.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean that's correct.
I just think it would be hard to foresee them taking a home game away from a team like the Patriots that sells out, does so well at home. I mean, last year you had the Cardinals giving up a home game, so they're giving up their 30% filled stadium to go play a game in another country.
Yeah, no,
I mean, if you're going to ask the Patriots to give up a home game, just financially, you need to reward them.
That's a good
And second
point.
Of all, they're a team that's competing for a championship every season, and you're taking away a home game. I don't know how that would sit with Bill Belichick. So there's a lot to at question there.
Yeah, see, I don't like the idea of regular season games doing this stuff with. Preseason games, when the winning and losing isn't necessarily a major issue, I can live with. But I will say, you know, we often talk about traveling, you know, if we had to go to China or to go to one of these games in Tokyo, you know, how much I wouldn't mind going to London.
Well, it's not that far.
It's not nearly
6 hours.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how far it is, but
five.
I could live with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
And that would be obviously, getting beyond like the 20-plus hour flight to Beijing, the experience would be incredible. I think to at least be able to go and say, I'm not looking forward to it. Don't.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
None whatsoever, Bill. None whatsoever. But I could, the experience would be somewhat amazing, I think.
I was talking to my brother-in-law about it, because he goes to China six times a year. And he goes, just so you know, China has a very distinct smell. It's almost a funk. I was like, good to know. So we get there, and it's going to stink. But that's a side note. But there have been rumors that the Patriots could be involved in some Chinese.
Well, let's put it this way. There's a game in London. I would obviously put the Patriots, because East Coast teams would make sense. I would put the Patriots there.
I can't wait to write that preseason story, because then it would be a Chinese field goal and a Chinese touchdown. You know, in baseball, you have the Chinese home run when you hit it over the backstop in Little League.
Unbelievable.
No disrespect to the Orientals.
You never heard that in Little League?
Yes, I have.
That'd be funny. No disrespect to anyone out there who may be listening.
Right.
Oh, it's good-natured fun.
No disrespect to anyone.
Yeah, to anyone. That's what I want to say. But I should start of every Ask PFW or PFW in progress. No disrespect to anyone.
Right, and then just go ripping everyone.
It's all in good fun.
All right, Karen is next up. She says, welcome to the world of podcasting.
Hey, thanks.
I never catch the show live because of work. It's great for people like me who don't have 2 hours at a time to sit at the computer and listen to the stream. I caught B-Lo's Pat's pod on Friday, too, and must say that Lori is getting much more comfortable in front of the microphone. I'll be looking forward to future shows.
When did it become B-Lo's Pat's pod?
Just so you know, B-Lo had a 60-second update to start that podcast. And
Andy, Paul, and Tom were all there as well.
And we did the show. We did, right. 5 or 6 minutes. Not that it was
B-Lo's podcast.
Groundbreaking stuff or anything.
Pat's pod.
And, of course, as is the normal protocol for listeners, they have to say, I told you so.
Oh, boy, what did they tell us?
Way more. So I guess podcasting is the way to go, huh? I seem to remember some people goofing on me last summer with my silly little podcast. Wink. She's only kidding. Turns out it's a legitimate form of media after all. Of course,
I'm not sure it's legitimate.
I'll still be sitting on the other side of the ropes doing my thing this summer, but I'll see you there. Karen obviously does some podcasting.
Oh, I didn't know who that was.
Yeah, Karen does some podcasting during training camp herself. Although I must say it would be nice to be able to get down on the field after practice and get some sound bites from my own show. Just a couple of technical questions and comments. Any reason why last week's show showed up as a 5-plus hours when downloaded? I do not know. I'll talk to Fred about that. Is there going to be a way to subscribe at all? I'll also talk to Fred about that because I know none of these answers.
I don't know anything.
All right. The rest is just kind of technical stuff.
Gary, do we show? Do you know anything about this? Okay.
Hopefully
save myself the trouble.
Hopefully you read my email. I've sent in a few.
Gary, no disrespect. Past,
which we're not.
What?
She said hopefully we'd read her email, and we have. And that's Karen. P.S. Man, did Paul ever catch it at last week's Ask PFW or what? Mm. And Andy, whew. Let's hope you got it all out of your system before you have a breakdown.
No, I'm good.
It's too late.
I'm good.
Too late.
I got it out of my system. Had a little
angry
fun.
Angry Andy is still angry.
My alter ego.
He's always
angry. Angry Andy.
It's not an alter.
Angry.
It's not an alter ego. Please.
It's an alter ego.
Please.
It's like Bruce Banner when he roars.
Andy Hart mad. Always.
That's not true. I usually am very kind and understanding in SPFW, but this week I felt necessary to fight back a little.
Were you secretly...
You were lying your ass off.
A while undressing. It destroyed your life.
No.
Call 1-88-45-MORI. Not Brian Morey, Morey Polvich.
Let's not mention that name on this show.
Oh, I'm sorry. He is an alum.
Okay.
The Did he graduate? Is he considered technically an alum?
I don't know.
Okay. Webradio at Patriots.com. Once again, webradio at Patriots.com. Keep the emails coming. They're coming fast and furious now, which is a good sign. Off-season is here. We're looking for free agent suggestions, thoughts, comments, profound ideas of any sort.
I'm still amazed.
We're talking about the CBA and the possibility that we could be without one and have an uncapped year.
Right on target there, yes.
In 2007, what were you going to say, Andy?
I'm still amazed that person was up at 3 a.m. for the Super Bowl. It was 9 o'clock, and I didn't want to be up anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I was barely watching the end of that game. If I didn't have company, I might have fallen asleep on the couch.
Start subtle hints. Guys, you can probably take off now. Why don't you call it a night?
Josh is next up. He's in East Callis, Vermont. He lets us know how to pronounce Callis, which is nice.
How do you spell it?
C-A-L-A-I-S. I think we were probably saying Calais, as in French, but he says it's pronounced Callis.
As in L-O Cool J?
C-A-L-L-U-S.
Calais.
Yeah, just like that. Anyway, he says, hey, fellas. Could you just quickly run through the order that things happen in the offseason, the beginning of free agency, the draft, et cetera? And he appreciates our help. He likes the show. So let's see.
First is the franchise designation period, which we are in that period, and it ends next. Is that the Wednesday, the 23rd? It ends next Wednesday, the 23rd. Same date, the start of the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. And then after that, contracts expire March 2nd. March 3rd begins a new year, a new salary cap, which is projected, rumored to be about $92 million. All teams will have to be under that. And that's the beginning of free agency. You know, we remember last year the Washington Redskins wanted David Patton. They called him at 12:01, right after midnight, and soon had a deal with him where they overpaid greatly for his services. So that's when it starts, March 3rd, assuming there's no change. And I would assume for there to be a change in those dates, it would have to be agreed upon by both parties that are now negotiating, the players and the NFL, correct? NFL couldn't just unilaterally bump free agency back, could it?
I would think that it would be in everybody's best interest to do that. So, yeah, I mean, if...
Because the players are now worried. The players are worried that guys that are free agents this year aren't going to get top dollar because with all the salary cap restrictions.
That's why I think it would be in their best interest to go along with that.
I would assume.
And for the teams right now, and I spoke to somebody who's somewhat involved in that aspect of the business for the Patriots, and he talked about how right now they have basically two plans in place, one with a CBA and one without it. So I would think for the teams, and I would imagine that's probably the case throughout the league, it's in the team's best interest as well to delay this. You know, if, for example, the CBA is agreed upon and ratified by the end of February, why not push back free agency a month, get all your ducks in a row, get everything in order, have everybody on board. This is the plan. Okay, now we had two plans. This is the plan that we need now with a CBA. The agents all know what's going on. The players all know what's going on. The teams all know what's going on. And you have one less month to sign guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not the biggest deal in the world.
No.
I mean, you continue with your free agency. I mean, everybody right now is still self-scouting and self-evaluating. They're still looking at the free agent market. They're still getting into their draft preparation.
The one thing I would say it would hurt on a football level might be coaches, GMs, in terms of signing guys at certain spots of need well in advance of the draft so you kind of know where you might be looking on draft day. And if you bump it back to April 1st, you get closer to that draft day. You know, you could, with it being March 3rd, you could sign two guys that play corner. And you go, you know what, we're probably not looking corner in the draft, whereas it kind of bumps that back a little. But other than that, I would say it's in the best interest of both sides.
Right. And I think that's probably what will happen, is there'll be a delay of some sort. I don't know exactly the timetable. I know they're talking about a month right now. But mm-hmm. I don't know what the timetable would be. I don't know how long you need to have to get everybody on the same page.
Well, there's also an assumption there that a month would get it done. That you're not in the same spot a month from now where you still haven't agreed on a new CBA.
Well, I'm talking about if they agree upon it. If they don't have one in place, I'm not sure that they delay the start of free agency.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know that for sure. I mean, I'm not.
I thought it was to give them a window to negotiate.
I thought it was more if we get one in place late, we want to make sure everybody is aware of all the new rules and all the stipulations and what it all means. Mm-hmm. But you could be right as well. Maybe if they think they're close to ratifying, and maybe they figure, by March 10th, we should have this ironed out. Right. Well, let's push back free agency. That could be the case, too. But I think if they're at a stalemate still, I don't see any reason why you push back free agency.
I think this could get ugly.
We've
been told for so long that it was going to get done, yeah. And it hasn't gotten done.
And you know what? The more and more you see guys, respected owners like Robert Kraft, quoted, not necessarily voicing a lot of optimism. I think those are red flags. When guys like Mr. Kraft are not necessarily optimistic that this is a couple of, lengthy negotiating sessions away from being done, I don't see how you can be really happy about it.
I've also seen Mr. Kraft's name mentioned a couple times as the haves who are kind of fighting the greater inclusion of revenues in the CBA because... Yeah. A Dallas, they've been very proactive in doing creative measures, whether it be the internet, right. The stadium, right. The marketing, all that crap, and they, want
shows like this. Frankly,
right?
It's stuff like this. It's added ways. Not that that this show is breaking any salary cap kind of numbers or anything like that, but it's shows like this and it's endeavors like this,
podcasts and Patriots Today.
Patriots Video News, and the Patriots were first with all of these things. They were the first professional team to have a website. They found other ways to do things and make money. Mm-hmm. And I got to agree. I mean, it's not because I work for them. It's not because I'm working in this part of the organization. But why should they have to share all that when they were at the forefront?
But isn't that, and this is how it's been reported, more of a problem between owners than between owners and players? Isn't it fair that a player says, the team I work for makes a lot of money in other ways?
And we talked about this last year when the article came out in Forbes magazine listing the Patriots as one of three teams that was worth more than a billion, right?
Yep.
And one of the players said to me, why don't you talk to Kraft and find out how he's making all that money and we're not seeing all of it. And I said, why don't you do that? I said, that's not my business. They wanted me to write a story about that. And I said,
Yeah, good call there.
no thanks. I mean, you're risking, if you get cut, you got a couple million in the bank. I get cut and I get nothing in the bank. I mean, there's a big difference.
Right.
Besides the fact that, honestly, I agree with them. Like, I think that what Jerry Jones did in Dallas was innovative. What Daniel Snyder was able to do in some regards.
Again, that's an internal NFL issue between owners more than it is between players.
But the players want all that money.
Right. But I think,
and they don't think they should have to share that money with the players even.
Right.
That's part of the unshared revenue.
I have no problem with them not wanting to share it with other owners.
Right.
But they should share it with the players, because without the players, you're nothing.
So you're saying that the teams that make
EFW
more
in progress talking
caps?
About no players is no show.
No, I understand that. But you're saying that they should have higher caps for the teams that make more money?
No, that's why I'm saying it's a confusing issue.
Right. Well,
the
that's
players
you're right.
Deserve a piece of that pie. I don't think the Kansas City Chiefs necessarily deserve a piece
but
of the pie.
But you can't have it that way.
And not my problem if I'm a player. I want my money.
But then don't you see the problem with
Pay
that
me.
Is all the players would want to be on all the teams that make the more money.
That's why the owners have to figure out how to get it done
playing
field.
They make the more money.
I wasn't listening.
you don't pay attention.
I also have a problem just lumping some of those teams in because they're limited by their market. The Buffalo Bills cannot do as much as the New York Jets. They're limited by their market. So it's not an even playing field where you say, well, if they just tried harder, they could do the same thing. No, they couldn't.
As that great football philosopher Swig once said, boo frickety who.
Well, then we'll just get rid of all the small market teams, have eight teams in all the major cities, and we'll just move
Andy
on.
Andy Hart, boo frickety who.
See? I told you that's what Swig said.
That is what Swig said. And
all right, let's get to one more email before we take a break here. Russ is next up. Russ is in Canton, Mass. What were you laughing at?
This is still that caught on tape show, and the girl was just casually sitting topless reading in her bed.
Okay.
That's something that if it was in a movie that I was watching with my wife, she would go, yeah, because girls just sit around topless all the time reading and hitting each other with pillows.
Evidently they do.
I guess, because this is hidden video.
All right, so Russ is in Canton, and he says, since the Super Bowl, many prognosticators are picking the Patriots to win it all next year. I am just curious why. I have always maintained that the Patriots nationally don't get the respect they deserve. How ironic it seems it took them to lose this year to earn that respect. Why do you think they are being favored for next year?
You ask why, I ask why not.
Well, I think that they...
They made it to the divisional round with a ridiculous amount of injuries and no coordinators. And, I mean, they still have the core.
And I think a lot of people feel like they beat themselves in the playoffs and they didn't get beat by...
But I don't even care about that.
But I'm just saying, that's why people like them... I mean, you talk to someone like Boomer Esiason, he thinks if the Patriots played a good game against Denver, they would have won. And that's why he thinks... He hasn't seen the team necessarily that if the Patriots played to their capabilities, would have been able to beat the Patriots.
Yeah, I think that's
necessarily
a bit of a stretch.
I don't know for sure if I believe that or not.
I think it's a bit of a stretch, but just on paper, they made it to the divisional round through all kinds of hurdles with injuries. They lost their coordinators, their running back couldn't get out of his own way, and yet they still made it to that level. Then you have to say, well, are they going to take any steps back this offseason? Well, where? I mean, in theory, you're going to get these injured guys back. In theory, you're going to restock through the draft and free agency in some areas. Maybe you'll do a better job in free agency. You brought on Dwayne Starks, and he didn't do anything. Maybe this is the year you hit with the guy you bring in. So you're starting at a pretty high level, and in theory, you're going to improve. So I don't know why you don't pick them to be one of the top handful of teams in football to start next year.
Yeah, and I think that clearly they're one of the top handful of teams in football. I'm not necessarily saying, and look, you can't pick a favorite right now because you don't know what's going to happen in free agency. You don't know what's going to happen in the draft. You don't know what's going to happen in terms of injuries.
I think it's strange that the Colts are the money favorite.
But someone has to be. You know
what
I mean?
I know, but if I look at the Colts, I say, well, their franchise running back is probably not going to be back.
If they lose him, then their odds go down.
So that's a change.
Do you know what I'm saying?
But odds are they're going to lose him.
Right.
They don't project that at all?
No.
Oh.
That's as of today. That's of the rosters as of today.
Well, I think that's a flawed system.
Of course it is.
Because he said he doesn't want to be back. He's going to be a free agent.
You get good odds and stuff on things like that.
Oh, that's flawed.
Depending on how it goes. Like, let's just say, for example, you name a team that's
Jacksonville.
One great running back away. From you think
Patriots.
You think they're the
see what
the
I did there?
Okay, okay. No, that's a good one. Let's say that the Patriots, Corey Dillon was gone. This is, you know, a hypothetical total. Corey Dillon played the last year of his contract last year. They need a running back. Edgerrin James, everybody knew it was a foregone conclusion. As soon as free agency starts, he already basically has a wink-wink deal with the Patriots. He's coming to the Patriots. You could get good odds in the Patriots because their odds are not with Edgerrin James. Right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he's good enough to be a difference
maker. So you get him at 10-1, all of a sudden they rock it up to 4-3 or whatever.
And guys that pay attention to that stuff, I'm not one of them. Tom is. Tom would know some of that stuff. I bet you he has examples of how a transaction here or there really drastically impacted the odds during an offseason.
So, Paul Perillo, I want you to stamp a favorite for next year under not just strictly who's on that team right now, but let's just say, in our mind, Edgerrin James probably not going to be a Colt next year.
I wouldn't have Indianapolis as a favorite.
Who do you
stamp? Even with Edgerrin
James. Okay, well, who do you put? Who's your best odds?
I got to think the Patriots, really. I mean, I think the Patriots right now, I think there's some truth to the fact that they beat themselves. Now, I think Denver was a better team in 2005.
But that's a game. That's one of those games.
That's a game that Denver, I don't think, necessarily played very well. Everybody just says, oh, the Patriots played like crap and they still had a chance.
Right.
I don't think Denver didn't play nearly as well as they played in the first game.
But that's one of those games where if you say, if they didn't have a couple injuries, maybe they win some regular season games and they play Denver in Foxborough and the Patriots win.
That's why I think that the Patriots.
So you would put the Patriots at the top of the list, the favorite.
Well, yeah, why not?
Okay.
Why not?
No, I was just asking for your. I mean,
I think
teams are. Colts are clearly
I love the AFC West. I think that those teams are very. I still think San Diego is a pretty good team, even though they didn't even make the playoffs. You know, I think Denver's a pretty good team. I think Pittsburgh's a pretty good team. Mm. I don't fear Pittsburgh. I didn't fear them. I didn't respect them at all at the start of the playoffs. They proved me wrong.
The Seattle Seahawks?
Seattle, I think, is just an okay team. I think the NFC is still just what I thought of the NFC.
Where do you put the Carolina Panthers with Sean Alexander?
Oh, I would shoot them up. I would make them the prohibitive favorite in the NFC if they got Sean.
That's what their team doctor said, too. I'd shoot them up.
Oh, there you go. I would put the Panthers.
Because that's the wink-wink wink-wink deal is
I
the
think
Panthers
Dallas,
and Sean Alexander.
I think Dallas is a legitimate possibility. Because I think that
they get a new quarterback?
Well, they're going to need one. But I think that they were very close last year to being a very good team. If they had a kicker, I think they would have been a very, very dangerous team in the playoffs. And I don't think the NFC is very good. Now, I think if Dallas was in the AFC, I think they'd scrap, fight to make the playoff. I don't, you know, I wouldn't put them as a favorite.
So, therefore, you can't make them a Super Bowl favorite?
No.
So, no one in the NFC is a Super Bowl favorite?
Not in my mind.
Okay.
But a lot of things are going to change between now and, you know, the mini camps.
I think Sean Alexander on Carolina makes them a dangerous team. Chris Jenkins, if he can come back.
I absolutely think that's a dangerous team. I think that's a pretty good football team that's limited. And I think if you put a weapon like that, and then you have Jake Delhomme throwing the ball downfield with that running game, I think you have a chance to be something.
Pretty good coach. They got a pretty good everything.
All right. We're going to continue to take the emails. Let's step aside right now. Webradio@patriots.com. We're taking your off-season emails. We'll be back here in PFW in progress.
Intercepted. Rodney Harrison, and that is it. And the Patriots have done it again.
They did it again. For the third time in 4 years, your New England Patriots are Super Bowl champs.
Back to back. 3 out of 4.
NFL Films and the New England Patriots are proud to present 3 Games to Glory 3, the definitive keepsake from the Patriots' third world championship. 3 Games to Glory 3 is a unique behind-the-scenes look at the Patriots' run through the 2004 playoffs and their victory in Super Bowl 39. The Ultimate Patriots DVD includes every play from Super Bowl 39 and the playoff victories over the Colts and Steelers, and features more exclusive behind-the-scenes footage and one-on-one interviews than ever. This amazing 2-DVD set takes you into the locker room and onto the sideline. Coach Belichick breaks down the film, highlighting the key plays to victory. You'll hear from the players on the sidelines and get the players' take on the commentary track of the Super Bowl. The Ultimate DVD for the Ultimate Patriots fan. 3 Games to Glory 3. Available in the Patriots Pro Shop and online at Patriots.com. Complete your set and relive the glory.
To prove how easy it is to eat the warm cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts, we've given one to Donito, the world-famous bongo player.
Mmm, delicious.
Unlike typical cinnamon buns or rolls, this warm cinnamon stick can be held in one hand, leaving your other hand free.
Yes, watch this.
As you can tell, he's enjoying the delicious spirals of cinnamon flavor and sweet icing.
Very good.
Best of all, this warm cinnamon stick never leaves you with a sticky, gooey mess like the usual cinnamon roll. To compare, I'm going to hand Donito one of those typical cinnamon rolls.
My hands, they're stuck to the bongos. Help me.
The freshly baked warm cinnamon stick. It'll leave you feeling satisfied, not sticky.
Donito is finished.
For a limited time, only at Dunkin' Donuts. Bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary.
Try the warm cinnamon stick from Dunkin' Donuts. The shape makes it easy to eat, and the flavor is hard to resist. For a limited time only at Dunkin' Donuts. Bring yourself back. Price and participation may vary.
John Madden here. If you're really into football, you need to check out Sirius Satellite Radio's Any NFL Game Anywhere Sweepstakes. One winner and a friend will travel to any NFL game anywhere each week of the 2006 regular NFL season. Imagine it. One weekend you're in Beantown watching the Patriots, then after you barely got your feet planted, boom, you're off flying across the country to San Diego. It's NFL action like you've never seen it. And only Sirius takes you there for the full MVP treatment.
Sirius gives you a front row seat for every NFL game every week. And you can be there in person if you win the Any NFL Game Anywhere Sweepstakes. Enter at Sirius.com. No purchase necessary. Entry must be between 8-21-05 and 10-105. Must be 18 or over and a resident of the continental U.S. Visit Sirius.com for details and official rules. Void where prohibited. The NFL is a registered trademark of the National Football League. Air travel provided by Southwest Airlines, proud sponsor of the NFL. It's more than just radio. It's Sirius Satellite Radio.
This is PFW in progress.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. To me, it meant being somebody in the neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
He was one of the most feared guys in the city. Now, he was first locked up at 11 and he was doing hits for mob bosses when he was 16. But what he really loved to do was steal. I mean, he actually enjoyed it. He was the kind of guy who rooted for the bad guys in the movies.
Paul Perillo.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system. There was Jimmy and Tommy and me, and there was Anthony Stabile, Frankie Carbone, and Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy. And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No-Nose, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how... I mean, what's funny about it? Right. Funny how? Let me understand this, because maybe it's me, I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you, I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me what's funny.
PFW in progress.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Nothing funny about Ask PFW yesterday. You were on a warpath. Angry Andy responding to the disgruntled Patriots Nation.
I had to stand up for the paper, the website, the company.
Yeah, I know we had a little fun with it yesterday, obviously. We get the emails every week, and we, keep the questions coming. We love them, but, sometimes when we make little mistakes, we don't necessarily need the venom to be spewed as viciously as it can be. And certainly when we don't agree with, an opinion, we don't necessarily need that to be... thrown around either. I had the audacity to say that Dominic Davis, in my opinion, was just kind of an okay running back, and he's like 60 to 80 yards per game running back, and an emailer wrote back ripping me saying that he actually averaged 88 yards per game, so I was off by 8 yards.
He's average.
Yeah, I think he's average too, but...
I just want to point out that it was kind of good-natured in that I was firing.
Well, that's
back
what I'm saying. Time. We had some fun. We
kind of played it up a little bit. I hope people don't take it too seriously.
Well, that's
and
what
get
I'm
all
trying. To, that's what I'm trying to explain. Is that, we try to have some fun with it.
And if so, get over.
And we do tease some of the emailers, but it's not meant to be, vicious or mean. We're just trying to have some fun, and sometimes through an email, it's hard to, to get the tone of it. So I'm trying to, put that forth here on the show. So I'm sure that some of the people that email into Ask PFW are the same people that are emailing in right now to PFW in Progress. So I thought that would be a good way to get that out there.
Word.
Word up, yo. All right, Luis, we're going to get right to the emails, Andy, because we have them coming in pretty well here at the halfway point of the show. Again, we'll be with you till 2 o'clock Eastern here on a Wednesday afternoon at Gillette Stadium. A very mild Gillette Stadium today, Andy. Isn't that...
Snow's melting. Won't be around long with these kind of temperatures.
I have a question for you.
Okay, I have an answer.
If there was a possibility, we got about, 2 feet of snow?
I certainly
a foot and a half maybe? I mean, you didn't get that much. I didn't get that much.
You got a little over a foot.
Some places got a lot. There's a lot of snow.
Yeah.
If you think, let's just say, I know it's impossible, but let's say the day after a snowstorm like that, let's just say it was like July 4th. And it was 85 degrees, hot, sunny day here in New England.
Okay.
Would all the snow be gone in one day?
I have no idea.
What do you think?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if it would all melt
Maybe.
In one day. These are the things I think about when I'm walking from my car.
You have a lot of flooding.
Stadium. Well, yeah, there would be a lot of water.
Yes.
Well, because it's about 50 degrees today. Clearly the snow is melting. But you can't really tell yet how much snow is gone. Any area that maybe you had the snow blower out or you plowed is down completely to the pavement.
Or where it blew and it was only 2 inches thick.
Right.
That's clean.
But the snow banks are still huge.
Right.
Where the piles. Where
well,
the piles
it also
down.
Gets into the sun, and if it's in the shade and it doesn't get the sun, even though it's 50, it doesn't melt as fast as the 50 in the sun.
Right. And I was thinking today, if it was a hot summer day, would that eliminate all the snow? Probably would.
Most of it.
Probably would. Anyway.
Sounds like a physicist will have to tell us the heat transfer and how many joules of energy it takes to melt 1 inch of snow over a 1 foot square, blah, 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 blah.
One of those in-depth topics that you get only on PFW in Progress.
And like most of our topics, you don't get an answer.
Yeah, unfortunately. Anyway, Luis is next up, and he wants to know, Luis is going back a ways. I'm still debating with some friends what turned the season around for the Patriots way back in 2001. The main point is, why couldn't Drew Bledsoe get the wins that Tom Brady could? What's your take on this subject? What do you think, Andy? I'm kind of a biased.
Because I believe the change, losing the franchise quarterback, caused a lot of people to kind of rally and step up and feel like, you know what, we need to make plays now, and kind of change the whole attitude
of a lot of different players. Step up.
And yeah, I think they rallied. I think they stepped up, and I think there was an overall locker room type change.
I also think,
which, by the way, I don't think is necessarily strict any sort of negative against Drew. It was the fact.
I didn't take it as that.
It's like, you know, when you have, if it was in the army and you have whatever, whoever leads a small group of soldiers, if that guy goes down, the others know they need to step up, or we're just going to sit here and die.
Yeah, I'm you know, as big a Drew Bledsoe backer as probably there is. But I don't necessarily think the Patriots would have won the Super Bowl in 2001 if Drew didn't get hurt. I think that Brady made some plays when games were on the line that I'm not sure Drew would have made. I don't think that Brady did a tremendous amount overall that year. I thought, for the most part, he avoided mistakes and stayed out of the way and won some games at the end. But that said, I don't think that Drew necessarily would have done the same thing. However, I will say this in defense of Drew, I think that team was getting better. I think that team had a tremendous offseason that year. I thought that the newcomers they brought in, a lot of them really, really contributed that year. Mm-hmm. The Vrabels, the Brian Coxes, the Roman Pfeifers, the Mike Comptons, Mark Edwards, the list goes on and on. Antoine Smith, Terrell Buckley. They had a lot of guys that came in that year and contributed. And I think that the beginning of the year, it didn't necessarily show, and it didn't show immediately when Brady took over.
Right.
They won that first game big against a very bad Colts team, by the way, which everybody forgets that, you know, they beat the Colts 44-13 or whatever, but the Colts went 6-10.
Right.
They stunk. The next week they lost 30-10 or something like that at Miami, and they struggled, win one, lose one, halfway through. They were 10 games into the year, they were 5-5. That's when it happened. So that's why I'm saying it wasn't just this magical change the quarterback and suddenly you went from losers to winners. That didn't happen.
Right.
The team was getting better, and I think it was a combination of what Andy said. And I remember Damian Woody saying exactly what you just said. You know, we can't sit around and just watch Drew and wait for Drew to do something anymore. We have to do something. I think it was partly that kind of mindset that swept in. And partly the development of the team overall. By the end of that year, they had a pretty good running game.
Mm-hmm. No question.
With Antoine Smith. They didn't have a great running game when that year started, but by the time that year was over, they were running the ball pretty well.
And they also had some good fortune.
And
you never know.
Please
that's
do
like
not
that.
Dismiss the fact that Tom Brady was highly instrumental in that success.
Right. But they had a lot of good luck. They had lot of good luck. And that's one of those things where I know it sounds kind of stupid on the surface, but that movie Butterfly Effect with what's his name from the TV show, that 70s show guy. If you change one thing, it just little things, domino effect. Ashton Kutcher. It happens, and you never know if things would have worked out in a similar way, just in terms of luck, the good luck they had, if Drew's the quarterback and not.
Well, I would contend that that's the part of it that you wouldn't have gotten, because Drew never got lucky one time in his life. So, I mean, that's where I will defend my guy. You know, and we joked about this. And I always say this, you know, everybody remembers the Seattle game when Drew threw the interception on the second to last play of the game, and then Seattle on the last play kicked the field goal. If Doug Flutie threw that interception, do you really think the kicker in the rain would have made a 51-yard field goal? I think not. They would have missed it and gone to overtime, and everybody would have forgot about that interception.
And Flutie would have gotten into his IROC and gone to a game at BC. Did you read that last week in the Inside Track? He really has an IROC, a retro IROC? Because it said he left the dining hall and got in his retro IROC. To me, that's...
Don't you think it's bad enough that he's in the dining hall at D.C.?
To me, all I thought of immediately was Billy Madison when Adam Sandler pulled up with the music blaring in his leather coat and his Iron Maiden shirt. I was like, it's like a joke. It's so funny that it can't be real.
Right. I agree.
It can't be real. But
anyway, that's a good topic, though, Luis, you know, that whole 2001 thing. And I'm sure you could ask 15 different people, and they would have 15 different reasons. But number one, first and foremost, you can't dismiss it. Brady going in was the number one impetus. And, I'm strong enough to admit that, despite my, as you call it, man love for Drew. I think that's first and foremost. And any other reasons come after that.
Can I ask you a very important question that we got in SPFW today?
Sure.
If the Patriots win the Super Bowl next year, is it a continuation of the 3 out of 4 dynasty or the start of a new dynasty?
I think it's a continuation as long as there's not a major overhaul of the roster this offseason. Like, I could be somewhat convinced to include the 96 trip to the Super Bowl in this dynasty if there wasn't so much turnover. That's why I don't count it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not just the Bledsoe thing,
right.
But the offensive line was almost all new. You know, Curtis Martin was gone. Terry Glenn, there was so many differences.
I was going to say, when you talk about a quarterback, a coach, a running back, those are the big. I mean, even the offensive line. If you told me it was Bledsoe and Belichick in 96 and they won again in 2001 and then 2003.
But it was all different players.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not necessarily the time from 96 to 2001 that prevents me from saying that those are at all linked. It's the major overhaul in the roster.
But Seifert and Young get credit for that dynasty.
Well, no, I wouldn't say the 94 one.
No?
I wouldn't.
That's not
personally.
Okay.
I think that was a different team.
I hope so. Because to me, if you change quarterback and head coach, that's major.
I would say
one or the other, I'm fine with. A guy retiring, you keep the quarterback,
first
new head coach.
One was a back-to-back
with right.
the same team.
Right.
Much like Barry Switzer's only one
right.
was the third of the four that Dallas won. A lot of the same guys.
But, on paper, it's going to be the same dynasty because Belichick and Brady are going to be there.
Unless something unheard of happens here and,
Tom Brady gets traded?
No, but like this, 25 free agents come in and, there's all different guys coming in and playing. And I don't see that happening.
I don't see any way that it's not.
It's still going to have Brady, Dillon, Branch.
Yeah.
Watson and Graham.
In my mind, there's nothing could happen. Nothing foreseeable could happen.
Yeah, the core of both your offense and defense are going to be the same,
in
my opinion. So I would say it is a continuation. Anyway, Peter is next up. After the disappointing Super in Pro Bowl, we don't have another choice just to get back to something more fair and exciting thing, the offseason moves. I reviewed the free agent and the possible salary cap casualties list, and I want to give you my 2 cents about it. I am actually not a great Dillon fan, but with his huge cap penalty, we should stick with him for the next year and put the effort to sign to sign other problematic positions, such as the offensive line. I know a bit about foot fractures, as I am a doctor, and there is a great chance that Matt Light will slow down after this injury a lot, which is a problem at left tackle. Perhaps he should move to the right side, and we can have Kasher, and Kasher can start on the left side, and Jeff Backus will be a free agent. And he's the Detroit Lions' former first-round draft pick, and he is a left tackle who is projected to be on the market, by the way, which is somewhat surprising. A left tackle in the prime of his career. They don't usually hit the market like that. And I had a great opinion on him before the draft, 2001, he speculates. It was somewhere in that area. Kid out of Michigan, I believe. He won't be tagged by the Lions, and there is no word on signing him for long also. I would not put too much effort into signing a wide receiver this year, even if Givens is gone. Belichick should find a way to use the two tight ends more effectively. They are one of the best tandems in the NFL. We can find somebody like Teo Johnson, who is big and fast, although not the best route runner or blocker. I also like Chris Hope at safety, and then Wilson could go back to corner, because I hated to see him beaten so often. Well, just touching on that, if he was beaten so often at safety, why would you want him playing corner?
I don't know. Maybe he's more comfortable.
Okay. Also, Jamal Lewis would be great, guys, if he would be released. He had Bowler on the team.
He's a free agent.
Which would hurt any running back in this league. He is fast and as strong as anybody, and then Dillon could be benched. All right. This is it for today. Cheers from Hungary. And that's Peter. Good job with the show, by the way. I love it. He's in Budapest.
I don't believe that Jamal Lewis has to be released. I believe he's a free agent.
I believe you're right on
that. And the interesting thing is Chester Taylor, his backup, is also a free agent.
Now, I would also say this. I have never been a huge Jamal Lewis fan, but I think he's a guy that you could get him. I mean, his value is at an all-time low. He's much better than the value you're going to get him at right now.
Why would he come here?
I'm not saying that he would.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, potentially, he would be an attractive free agent because he's better than he was last year. Don't forget, he had no offseason. He was in jail.
No, I know.
You know, and I don't care
he
how
had
many...
had surgery, correct?
I don't care how many weights you're lifting in prison. You know what I mean? I mean? He might have been able to take care of himself, but he wasn't going through a mini camp.
I believe he had ankle surgery as well last offseason, so he had a double whammy. But I just don't know why he would come here because, to me, if I'm Jamal Lewis, I say... How can that work out for me there? Anyway, it's going to be either awkward. It's
certainly
be...
not in 2006 because now he's dealing with Dylan.
That's what I mean.
And even if he beats Dylan out, it's, you know, as the lead back.
I think you want to go to a place where you have a legitimate chance of being the lead back. And if you beat somebody out, it's beating out some questionable somebody, you know.
You would have a legitimate chance
Arizona.
To be the lead back here because I think that's the way Bill operates.
I do too, but
him,
I think it's going to get ugly. You're not going to make any money, and it's going to be an uncomfortable, ugly situation.
It would be contentious, there's no doubt.
Between two guys who have criminal histories. Which
Word.
Means it could get ugly.
Word.
I mean, I want to go to Arizona where I can beat out Marcel Shipp and be the lead back, and I don't think that's a big deal. Or Indy, where... they take a shot at me, and I could be part of the best offense in football all of a sudden if they don't sign Edgerrin James. Or Seattle, if they don't sign... You know, go someplace where, yeah, you'll have to maybe win the job, but there's a big upside and not a real negative to it. I think there it's not a great fit here. Now, Chester Taylor, I think, is a more intriguing guy.
See, I don't like
he's
Chester
a younger
Taylor.
Guy who's been pretty successful when he's had a chance, and he's the guy... You give him a chance, then he's 2 years down the line.
This is probably not fair because the game that I'm talking about, it was the game and played in the monsoon here in Foxborough, but he was so thoroughly ineffective mm-hmm. that day. I just can't get that out of my mind.
I think he's I personally think he could be better than Dominic Davis.
Well,
Davis was a guy who's making under contract for $4 million a year.
You know what I think of Dominic Davis, so I mean, I don't have to even get into that. Henry is next up, and he's talking a little bit about the stuff that we were talking about earlier. I just wanted to know what your thoughts are about some free agents that the Patriots might go after. And also, I saw that Indy is 4-1 to win the Super Bowl next year, and the Steelers were 6-1. The Pats are 5-1. Well, if my math is correct, the Patriots have owned those two top teams in the AFC for the past 5 years, 10-2 against the Colts and Steelers since 2001. When will Las Vegas give the Pats some respect? Well, they have better odds than the Steelers, and the Steelers just won the Super Bowl. 5-1 is better than 6-1. Correct?
Angry Paul strikes back.
Am I right on that or am I wrong?
Yes, you're
5
right.
5-1 is
you're
better right. than 6-1,
yes,
right?
You're right.
I'm not a smart man, but I do know
I
that.
I understand you're
4-1
not a smart
is better
man,
than 5-1 is better than 6-1.
Yes.
So the Super Bowl champ, you have better odds then, and you're not getting respect.
Yeah, why do the Steelers get no love?
I think they stink. I'm not giving them respect. Does that sound? I think they would have lost to Cincinnati if Carson Palmer didn't get hurt. That's Angry Paul. There's no doubt in my mind they lose that game. No doubt
no
in my
doubt
mind
at all.
None.
Oh, I don't know about that, Paul.
No doubt. Do you
I
know
think
what happened?
A good chance.
Do you know what happened, by the way, in the locker room in Cincinnati? This is someone told me this story, and it's not confirmed. This is not a media report. This was someone told me that they had somebody tell them that this is what happened. The whole Chad Johnson thing, it wasn't a fight with a coach necessarily. Chad Johnson just was disconsolate in the locker room. Because Carson Palmer was hurt. He was crying uncontrollably. And the assistant coach in question that he supposedly punched, the wide receivers coach, came over trying to console him. And he pushed him away. He wouldn't deal with it. He didn't want to hear any of it. He just thought that it was all over. That's the mindset what the Cincinnati Bengals went into halftime with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been saying all along. They were able to play in the immediate. Then they went in the locker room, looked around, and realized Carson Palmer ain't coming back. We're dead.
Could be.
And they still had a chance to win the game.
Mm-hmm. No question.
So, I think the Steelers would have lost that game.
I think
really
you grossly underrate the Steelers.
I do. But I think they would have lost that game.
They could have. I think that personally was a bad matchup for them. But.
Right. And I also think that I think the Colts was a bad matchup for Pittsburgh, you know, to go against my thought. I thought the Colts were a bad matchup for Pittsburgh, too. Mm-hmm. And they beat them.
Right.
And they certainly deserved to beat them. They outplayed them the whole day. But look, they're the Super Bowl champs. You can't take it away from them. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to be sour grapes.
As much as you're trying to.
I don't want
to
be sour grapes. I was wrong. I said they wouldn't win, and they won. The only game I picked them to win was the Super Bowl, and that's only because they were playing the NFC.
It's usually how the Super Bowl works. AFC plays the NFC.
My point was anybody. I would have picked them to beat anybody in the NFC. That's my point. And I also, you can't argue, they beat the number 3, 2, 1, and then the 1. You can't get, it's impossible to have a tougher road to the Super Bowl than that. That's a record that will never be broken. It can be matched. It can never be broken.
What if they expand the playoffs?
Well, then that's a different argument. That's an argument for another time.
Never. Never say never.
Under this format, can never be broken. Jason W. next up. W. Wow, I'll tell you, the emails are just flooding in. Webradio@patriots.com. Let me give out that phone number again. 508-543-7482 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. But keep those emails coming. Good stuff today, guys. Jason says, I wonder, with all the talk of an uncapped year, if you may talk about some of the poison pills on both sides. I know there are some, quite upfront and obvious, but given those and what could evolve, what might be seen as happening after? What possibilities, good and bad, may come of that? Well, let's touch on that first. I think the first and foremost is I don't think you'll ever get a cap.
Right. You'll have a hard time getting a cap back.
And I think the cap is the number one.
You're losing what every other league has praised you for and has attempted to get
in
the last 10
years. You can talk about the revenue sharing and all that stuff. That'll all probably remain, you know, that's all going to remain in place. But the cap, I think, is what keeps the league's competitive balance in place.
Right. Because you're forcing a team to only be able to spend a certain amount of money.
Because let's say you had revenue sharing, whereas if you made money off of everything the NFL makes money off of, the television contracts and everything, so the Patriots might be a marquee team, the Cowboys might be a marquee team, the Steelers, they're all making all this money and they're on national TV all the time. And the Arizona Cardinals are never on those games. You know, they're always a regional telecast or whatever. But Arizona's making the same amount as the Patriots. That's fine, but when Arizona's spending $80 million and the Patriots are spending $160 million, there ain't no competitive balance.
We've seen it in baseball, where they went to the luxury tax and revenue sharing. And when was the last time the Yankees made a decision because they were going to pay more the next year in luxury tax? They haven't. They're still just spending money. Because you can choose how much money you want to spend. If you have a cap, you can't.
It is interesting, though, since baseball did make those little tweaks, that the we've seen some examples of the Angels in 2002, the White Sox this past year, the Marlins in 2003.
Yeah, but
since they made those changes, there's been examples of teams that haven't necessarily been among the highest payroll.
Coincidence.
I think it's a pretty big coincidence when it happens three times out of like the 5 years that the new rules have been in place.
I think it's a coincidence because the Yankees spent 200 and every year they spend
more than
they spent
the
previous
year.
But that's just because they've screwed up spending the money. It has nothing to do with any salary cap or revenue sharing.
I'm not saying that.
Until you tell me they can't sign Johnny Damon because they are going to, they can't afford to, or they're restricted by some rule, then it hasn't affected them. They've just misspent their $230 million. Because you haven't limited what they could spend.
But anyway,
how's it short-sighted?
Because
they spent the money.
I think that to just dismiss the fact that they now can't just buy everything.
But they can. They've yet to be. When was the last time they were limited?
How do you know?
When was the last time they?
How do you know?
Because they would, you, it would come out.
Why?
They're covered like any other team.
Why would George Steinbrenner, the biggest egomaniac in the history of sports, come out and say, "I can't do that"?
When was the last time they didn't sign somebody they wanted?
How do you know?
Because it comes out.
Carlos Beltran.
From what I read, they didn't want him that badly.
That's what they say.
I think it's naive to think they've been limited in any way and still have a payroll.
I think it's naive to say that teams that are in the middle of the pack payroll-wise that win it, it doesn't have anything to do with. It's just total coincidence. Are we all right here, guy? We got all kinds of static coming in.
I thought that was outside my headphones. Like actually in the room.
Let's keep going with the emails, though, because I want to get to most of these, and we'll get to our baseball
The monkey
argument.
Behind the glass just scratched his head exactly like a monkey would if something went wrong.
Lee Maloney's got a big game of solitaire.
Speaking of monkeys, real quick, again, that commercial that had the monkeys in the Super Bowl, they're continuing to add new ones to the rotation. I think it's Hot Jobs or one of those job things, and they had one last night that was the funniest in the history of commercials where the man is in a meeting with all the monkeys pointing out why spending 88% of their revenue on lottery tickets was not a solid business plan. And then he's got a pointer, and he's, like, circling it. And all the other monkeys pull out their pointers, and they're going like this all over the board. So there's, like, 100 pointers on the board. And then you hear the monkeys laughing, and they're all pointing it at the guy's butt and wiggling it around on his butt. Then he turns around, and they get into hysterics because they're now pointing it at his crotch. And just proves the age-old adage that put a monkey in a commercial, and it's guaranteed to be funny. It's also funny if you put one behind the glass and tell him to control the board on a radio show. Gary wasn't happy with that comment. He hasn't pushed the mic away yet, though. That's the telltale sign he's angry.
A lot of people are wondering where the phone number is on the show, Andy. You know, the 508-543-7482 that I've announced about 15 times.
What do you mean, where it is?
Well, I haven't.
It's on that piece of paper on the glass right there.
But people have said that we haven't said it. Despite the fact that we've, you know, said it several times. Of course, one of those people is Fred Kirsch, who
never says it.
Obviously has enough time on his hands to be up sitting on his butt listening to this show, but not hosting it like he's supposed to be.
Always a critic.
Absolutely. Anyway, Jason finishes his email by saying he only asks all these questions about the uncapped year because he has heard some say that it won't be all that bad. But I think it definitely will be a nightmare in many ways. The union could go as well and basically make everything chaotic, and he wants to know our thoughts.
The union could go away?
Yeah.
Is that what he's implying? Ooh.
Yeah. I think that the union going away would be irrelevant because the union stinks. The union, I mean...
Well, the only problem is, we talked about it earlier.
Have more power without a union, and they already have no power.
The only problem we talked about earlier, that the owners are infighting, and it's an issue with the owners. Now you'd have four groups kind of... You'd have two groups of players, two groups of owners, and then those two and two groups are trying to negotiate. You'd have – it just would throw another wrench in the hole.
I don't think it would be a good thing because of the first and foremost, the thing that Andy and I said, and this is basically what we've read a lot of, is that a lot of people speculate that if they get to an uncapped year, they'll never get a cap back. Now, that may be, you know, the Chicken Little approach and the kind of scare tactics, but I believe it. And if you don't get, I think if you lose the cap, you're in trouble.
Plus, it's going to make it just such a circus of a year if guys go out and just start signing people. I mean, I guess you can say, well, you know, they're going to have to get those people under the cap if we get it back. But what if they don't?
I'm not
thinking like that. If I'm Daniel Snyder, I'm signing every player I want to sign right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. And I would.
I'll deal with it later when I'm piping with my Super Bowl ring on.
Roll the dice and say that they're not going to get that cap back.
Yeah, I think it would be a circus.
All right, Dwayne is next up. He has some questions about the old stories in Patriots history. Some of the stories I hear about the patch just don't make sense. First of all, who is saying that no disrespect to the Orientals? And under what context? That is Bill Parcells. He said that he was talking about trick plays, and he said that they called them Jap plays.
And then he said they were trying to out-Jap each other.
Right, and he said, no disrespect to the Orientals, that's what they called
them. Sean Payton and who was the defensive coordinator? Because it was in practice.
I don't remember.
They were trying to out-Jap each other.
Zimmer? Mike Zimmer?
Maybe.
I'm not positive, but that's all that was about. Also, what is this I hear about Belichick writing on a napkin when he resigned from the Jets? That's how he issued his resignation to the Jets. He wrote it on a napkin. I resigned from the... As the HC of the NYJ. That's what he wrote
so
on the napkin.
Ridiculous.
And I think he gave it to Steve Gutman,
And then he ripped him after he left,
right.
Saying,
I'm not sure. I'm not a psychiatrist,
man, whatever.
But I think we've just witnessed a man having in the midst of a breakdown or something like that, or emotional stress. All right. Big T is in New York. Big T?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, where the heck's Casale and Kirsch? This is awful.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
You said you gave the phone number out 92 times. It must have been 91 before 12:30 because I've been listening for an hour and I haven't heard it.
You've been fiddling around with this thing for an hour and you can't seem to get it in?
No, then you said it and I tried to write it down and I wrote it down wrong. And
well, that's your problem. Is
old lady.
You can't follow simple directions.
You can't listen. We know you don't listen.
Well,
you're more of a mouth than an ear.
There's a couple of things I wanted to touch on here. First of all, the Washington Redskins, when they got Clinton Portis, went from 25-1 to 15-1.
Okay.
To win the Super Bowl.
I told you Tom would have the information on that.
Did you make money?
No. I just
know. I just know. Yeah, you know.
And you guys were talking about teams for next year, and all you did was regurgitate the same five teams that were good this year. What do you two work for ESPN now?
Actually, I cited, if you were listening, but obviously you weren't, I cited a team that was a non-playoff team.
Right, and that was the one team I was going to, I'm calling in to agree with you on, is the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure, now you want to jump on my bandwagon.
No, that's
this is what we deal with. That, see, this is what we deal with. All of our listeners know way more than everybody else.
That's
it's
true.
Not just us. It's everybody
well,
else.
Are all your listeners guaranteeing the Cowboys to win the NFC next year?
They're like you. They all know it all.
Are you willing to guarantee that? Are your listeners willing to guarantee that if the Dolphins get Steve McNair, the Patriots will be finishing in second place next year? Are they going to guarantee you that?
That's wow. A big if.
That's a big if.
Well, what do you mean it's a big if?
They're probably not going to pick up that
if.
$50 million bonus. No, I mean, no, look. Big T. I mean, there's definitely other teams out there. I think we talked about. Why do you think about Ty? What do you think about Ty Law in Miami?
I like it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be out there. I'm the only one. That's
we're putting it out there.
This is like Casale and Hart with their Terrell Owens nonsense.
Hey, I'm putting
it out there.
Well, you know, maybe if the Patriots signed Terrell Owens, they'd have more than two Pro Bowlers.
In my book, they didn't have any Pro Bowlers because you have to play in the game for me to consider you a Pro Bowler.
I mean, see, I go the opposite way. I consider Brady and Seymour Pro Bowlers. I don't consider all their injury replacements in the past, a la Willie McGinnis, Pro Bowlers.
Well, we're sitting here saying that Las Vegas doesn't give them any credit. Well, they don't have any talent. I mean, according to the Pro Bowl, they don't have any talent.
Big T, what are you talking about?
I'm just telling you what the Pro Bowl's saying. They don't have any talent, and they're
they had 44 different starters, and they made the playoffs. They made it to the divisional round, and you say that they don't have any talent?
Ah, who'd they beat? They didn't beat anybody this year.
Super Bowl champs.
All right, now I think Big T's just trying to push up.
Yes, I agree.
They were two perfect.
Yeah, it's time to drop Brady this pass. Clown.
They were two perfect Tom Brady passes away in Miami from.
Oh, Big T is out.
Big T is out.
Big T not going to be happy with little G.
I just followed the lead of Big PP.
All right, a couple more.
Speaking of which,
Patriots isms.
What, you got to pee?
I don't know.
Fasten your seatbelts. It's pee pee time.
What?
Dwayne, he had a couple more questions in Patriots history.
Okay.
And why the hell did Parcells call Terry Glenn she?
Because
it took him over a month to get back from a hamstring injury.
Right.
And he said, she's doing all right. She'll be okay.
Right.
Just a little tweak. And why did Matt Millen punch Pat Sullivan?
I don't know about that one.
She's doing good.
Because Pat Sullivan was taunting Matt Millen after the Patriots beat the Raiders in the playoffs in 85.
Okay, good.
That's pretty much it.
Good. Why did the guy come out of the stands to kick a field goal or whatever when they needed a kicker? How did that one work out?
I think he covered a kick.
Oh, I thought it was
a
kicker.
He kicked a field goal.
Oh, I thought it was a kicker.
I don't really know that. Anyway.
You don't know that one?
No.
I thought you knew everything.
That's well before
I got
to
go back and change SPSW.
That was in Harvard Stadium.
I said you were one of the most knowledgeable people covering
the Patriots.
That
was in Harvard Stadium. I was not going to Patriots games at Harvard
Stadium. I'm rescinding that comment.
Anyway, Chris is next up, and his subject is Andy Hart's rant.
Uh-oh.
Is it safe to ask questions now?
Yes.
Lots of people seem to think that our number one need is running back, but is that really our foremost need at this point?
Maybe.
Did win two Super Bowls with Antoine Smith, didn't we?
Yeah.
If we had a running back as good as Antoine Smith, I wouldn't consider it a need, by the way. If we have a running game from Dillon next year that approaches Smith's, which I think is very doable, shouldn't getting younger at linebacker or getting deeper at the secondary be a bigger priority in the draft and free agency? What say you, Mr. Hart?
I say that I put linebacker and running back as two very important needs on this team. I look at the secondary and say, you had some depth last year. You just happened to get a million injuries in the secondary. You went in thinking that was a pretty good position, and it just didn't work out that way. I think you need to do a better job evaluating that depth. The one thing I'd say at corner is maybe you don't have the elite guy. I think you have the depth in place with guys like Samuel and Gay and Hobbs and Hawkins and those guys. What you're missing is a shutdown corner. I think that's what you're missing.
And I think you need to get younger at linebacker for sure.
Linebacker and running back for me are the top two needs.
See, I don't necessarily put running back in there. I want to find a running back. I don't necessarily think it's urgent. But, you know, if they get to a situation with that first-round pick, if one of these running backs is there, I got to take one. I can't pass up the value.
Lawrence? Maroney. If he's there, you take him?
Yeah, I mean, these guys know a lot more about these players than I do.
Obviously.
But if they feel like that, the value for Lawrence Maroney or whoever, you know,
Wendale White,
you know, if Williams is, happens to slip or whatever, you know, if you get to like 15, 16 and there's two of those guys, I think you got to trade up and get one of these guys.
Okay.
But I don't necessarily think running back is as big a priority as you do, if that makes any sense.
I just, the problem I look at with running back, and I don't necessarily care if it's the draft. Maybe they say Chester Taylor, we think, is a very good running back, or another one of these, like, fourth-year guys, or even a restricted guy. I haven't looked at the list that closely. But if they do that and get it that way, I just think you need to inject some talent in there, some young talent. You have Kevin Faulk and Corey Dillon. That's it. Dillon, people are saying, is done.
Are you convinced that Corey Dillon can't be productive?
I think what this emailer said is accurate. I think he could approach an Antoine Smith season. I think his days of being...
You think that Chester Taylor could approach an Antoine Smith season? Because I'm not so sure
he
could.
Yes, I do think he could. And I think he's a guy... I don't know... I'm not going to pretend I know everything about him. I think he's a guy who has an upside, maybe. Whereas I don't think there's much of an upside to Corey Dillon.
I'm not sitting here saying that he couldn't.
But
I don't know.
When I look at this roster, to me, running back is a position you haven't developed anyone.
They've tried and failed.
Let's look at corner. Whether you like them or not, at least you've had guys playing that are young. And Ellis Hobbs, maybe you think he's going to be a legit corner. And Asani Samuel's been playing for a couple years. Randall Gay. You have young guys. You have guys even at safety. Eugene Wilson, Gus Scott. There hasn't been a young linebacker to develop.
Well, Big T is not happy. Big T immediately emailed in, and he wants Gary. Gary will pay. You want to see a butt kicking? Tell Gary he better hide under the desk like Charlie Steiner did from Evander Holyfield in that SportsCenter commercial. It's time to pay the piper, Gary. He's coming to get you. All right, let's go to Sean. Let's go to Sean McLaughlin's email. Hello, gents. The biggest free agent need to me is, I have to say, getting a new CBA between the players and the owners. I hate to say it, but no CBA, we are going to become MLB and NHL. Everyone say an uncapped year would not be a bad thing. Sorry, it will be a bad thing. I don't know anybody who's saying it wouldn't be a bad thing, by the way. Let's hope the NFL understands.
At one point, I think I said it would be fun, and I was kind of kidding.
It would be fun just for, like, the chaos of it all, but not for the league.
Right.
Let's hope that the NFL understands that it is the best-run sport in America and is the most fan-favorite sport of all time. I don't want to see a strike. 82 and 87 were god-awful. And, Paul, you and I are the same age, so you remember those dark years. Just get it done. I agree.
Who's this?
This is Sean McLaughlin.
Sean's that old?
Kudos to Patriots Today, and shame on any of you who knock it. If you could do better, then do it, although that Tom Casale, Thomas Dolby thing was bad.
What's Thomas Dolby? Science?
She blinded me with science. But who knew Tip could sing? And that's Sean in Hazleton.
Who said he can?
Yeah, I'm not so sure he can. Although, if
just
anybody says
Tip.
That, I did not say that.
That was Gary.
All right, Phil.
Oh, wow, Gary. Tip, that was Gary that just played that little cat.
Philip, hey, that was my name, Phil.
Phil addresses his email to me.
Yeah.
I am not one of those fans who think that all the team needs is to get players back from IR, plus a decent draft to return to the Super Bowl. At running back, Dillon may be finished. Faulk is not quite capable of replacing him, and Pass is mainly a special teams guy. That situation could get Brady killed next year.
Word.
I can't argue with any of that. That's what Andy just got finished talking about, and I can't really argue with any of that philosophy. The secondary will get a lot of people back, but the quality of the players coming back is a big question mark.
Well,
I also agree with that.
See, I think you have a number of very capable NFL defensive backs, but as I said, I think you lack the top-end talent, the guy that just, cover him.
Are you assuming that, like, Starks and Poole will be back?
No, I'm assuming you have one of them, a veteran.
Because I don't think either one of those guys are going to be back.
Because I think one of them will be back. And I think they're interchangeable veteran guys who aren't great, aren't bad, are kind of a veteran version of Asante Samuel and Randall. They can play, but they're not.
I'll say this. If you open the season with the defensive backs that you open 2005 with, I would feel the way you're talking. I don't think they're going to have those guys.
Oh, I do.
I don't think that Starks and Poole are going to be back.
I think one of them will probably be back. And I don't care if neither of them are. I think you still have depth, because if those guys aren't back, you'll probably have Artrell Hawkins or Chad Scott and Ellis.
I'm not in love.
See, I think you're fine. I just think you lack a Ty Law or a top-end guy. That's what you lack. And maybe they believe...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe they think one of these young guys can develop into a top end guy.
That's what the
I don't personally
for.
Believe.
Different opinions. That's what the show is for.
But I also don't think you necessarily have a great chance of drafting a shutdown corner with a 21st pick in the draft.
No, and I haven't heard a lot about cornerbacks in general in this draft. I know there are some good ones, but I haven't heard a tremendous amount about.
I think that was one of the positions where you look and one guy, the top 10 of this guy's is nothing like
which
the top
tells
10.
You it's not a good year for right. that position, like wide receivers.
Right, it's very much like that. Holy crap.
Not a good
crap,
year for wide
like
receivers.
That. One guy's a number 2 on somebody's big board, he's number 14 and
Phil continues, there are a lot of teams out there with a lot of cap money to spend. For example, Cleveland is $30 million under the cap. This means guys like Neal, Givens, McGinnis, and Vinatieri could get offers that would be hard for the Patriots to match. I know Pioli and Belichick can make this team competitive, but I think it's going to take more free agents and a lot more roster turnover than a lot of people think. Interesting.
I
didn't really think of it that way, but it's a good email.
I don't necessarily agree with it because I obviously put a little more value on some of the guys. I think Dylan's still capable of a productive season, like the Antoine Smith kind of season, if everything plays out okay. But, yeah, I mean, a team like Cleveland could throw some money at David Givens, say. That could be one of the guys. And we said, sees money, go on. Stephen Neal.
Someone wrote in today something about Stephen Neal possibly going to San Diego. It's, near where he grew up and where he went to school.
Sure.
If you lose enough of these guys and don't have replacements, you're going to start to feel it. I think you saw that at times last year.
How many are you going to lose?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe you lose those two.
I don't think. Look, they have 16 free agents. I think they could lose 12 of them. And
I was going to say you just mentioned the two biggest.
It
probably
wouldn't matter
because I don't think they're going to lose.
If you lose all of the big ones, I'm not counting Vinatieri. If you lose all of the big, if you lose Givens, Neal, Ashworth. Whoever else you want to put in the
Givens
group.
And Neal,
Brown.
I think, are, relatively costly. I think Troy will be back if he wants to play.
We had the doctor that wrote in earlier and talked about Matt Light.
Well, that's...
And his foot. And you know what?
A lot of these assumptions are injury assumptions.
Quite frankly, we've heard rumblings to that effect.
Right,
If
you don't get
Dan Cope and
Matt
time,
Light,
yeah.
if you don't get all those guys back... Well, that changes the whole scenario. I mean, that's not information we're necessarily
of. We don't know that, but we have heard some people talk about the fact that these injuries are not necessarily ones that are going to be, snap a finger, they're rehab, and they're all set to go.
You make assumptions when you're doing this kind of stuff that a Matt Light will be able to return by next September. You make an assumption that, I make an assumption, Rodney Harrison is not. I say late in the season is as early as I would expect to see him at a productive level. You have to make those assumptions. That's what we're talking about with Vegas. You have certain things you believe to be true that can change. I mean, they could sign David Givens. We're assuming he's kind of gone. March 3rd, they could announce they've reached a 5-year deal with David Givens.
Yeah, and I'm not.
And I'll be surprised, but that'll change the way I kind of perceive the roster.
People ask me what I think.
Right.
And what I think is that he will not be back. That doesn't mean he won't be back. That's the part of it that, we'll get the emails. Believe me, we'll get the emails. God help me if they end up franchising David Givens because of, the beating I've been taking because I didn't think that they would franchise him. But we'll see. The Patriots do a lot of things that aren't necessarily what is, quote-unquote, expected of them.
And you've been wrong before, so I think you can handle
it. So many times, I'm used to it. Gabe is next up. I dig the paint drying. At least my emails get read, unlike last week. So evidently he's talking about us. We're like paint drying.
I think that's just you.
No, I think it's you.
No. It's never been related to me. I'm the stupid one.
That's for sure. Anywho, regarding Vinatieri, what is the deal, or lack thereof, with his re-signing? Was he franchised last year for over $2 million? Why not give him a 3-year deal and save some cap money instead of franchising him again?
Right.
I feel a little unnerved that the most recognized Patriot player besides Brady and Bruschi would be sans contract. If it was any other player that this was happening to, I feel they would be offended to the point of asking to be traded or released, like Sean Alexander or T.O. Your thoughts? P.S. Keep painting. That's Gabe in Trevose, Pennsylvania.
Not painting.
Taking shots at me.
Watching grass grow.
What do you think?
I think Adam Vinatieri will sign a deal eventually.
This year?
Not last year. I don't think they'll franchise him. I'm not looking to pay my kicker $3 million under a franchise tag, because that's what he'll be making, because he gets a 20% raise over the $2.5 million he made last year.
See, I think they might keep doing it, because I think they feel like...
What's the point?
But then there's no risk.
But what do you gain?
You gain the player.
But I feel like we always talk about one of the concerns on a player's end with a franchise tag is injury. It's not that likely that a kicker is going to suffer some career-threatening injury.
Right, so he doesn't have to worry about
money
that.
So he doesn't have to worry about
it.
But
if he loses
it. But the team's still paying $3-point-whatever-million for a kicker when I got to believe you can get him for a lower cap number by just signing him to a 3-year deal.
But how much lower?
I don't really know. I'd have to look at the numbers a little more closely. I mean, he was the highest paid kicker, right? At $2-point-whatever-million.
Right.
So he was the highest. So
he's, I mean,
you give
sign
him
to a new,
signing
you
bonus.
Sign him to a long-term deal, he's going to be the highest paid kicker or close to it. He's not
right.
taking a cut.
No, I know. But, I mean, what if you give him the $4 million signing bonus and then a 3-year deal? And so, I mean, I don't know.
So maybe you save money in year one, but you're probably not in year two.
And you have
two.
Him locked up, so you're done with it now. You don't have to think franchise. You can start saying, well, do I need that franchise tag for somebody else? I
want to see the guy.
Benefit from
I want to see the guy locked up. I think he
plus,
earned it. I think he's
I agree
it.
With him. At some point, does he start saying, "That's it, I'm out of here"?
Yeah.
You know,
I
played with you
yeah.
for 2 years.
Yeah.
I won you 2 Super Bowls. And
think,
you're not willing to pay me.
He deserves it. He should get it. He should be. You know, if not him, who? You know, he deserves it. He's done everything that a kicker could possibly do to help a team win.
I mean, I think that's an interesting perspective. At some point, do you ruin the goodwill between the two sides? Do you take advantage of Adam Vinatieri? And he says, you know what? You know how many teams would like to have me, would like to have a kicker who's so proven in the toughest times?
Dallas would sign him so quickly
right.
if he was on the market.
So I think you have to be careful by just saying, oh, I'll just franchise him. Sooner or later, he gets pissy.
Dallas would have gone 12-4 with Adam Vinatieri last year.
I probably would have been more pissy than him already. I think he's
no,
more
you
than...
would have been because you're Angry Andy. Anyway.
No, 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 no. Angry Andy wrote yesterday's Ask PFW. I'm just Andy.
Yeah, but that's what you're trying to fool people into. That's you. What you came, what came out yesterday was you.
You're Angry Paul.
That's what you like to tell people. Craig is in Newcastle, England. He supported the Patriots all
Craig,
his life.
Thank you.
That's a different Craig, isn't it?
This is a different Craig. He's 16. He's a young. Oh, hey. He's a youngin. Anyway,
I got a
do you know what
for
the
you.
Situation is with Rodney Harrison? Will he be back next year? Andy, you just touched on that a little bit. You think he will be back next year?
Yeah, I think if anybody is going to come back from a severe 3-ligament knee injury, it's a determined, strong, mentally strong player like Rodney Harrison. But you still have to get by the physical, and I think you're talking about a more than a year process. I think he starts the year on PUP. I would be shocked if he starts the year anywhere else but on PUP.
I would be as well.
So then you're doing the 6-week thing. I think it's later in the season. I think even mid-season is a would be a very good thing. I think it's more likely that it's later in the year. I mean, his age is not working with him to that degree. I mean, there's a lot kind of he's fighting to get back on the football field.
All right. Brendan writes in, he has an update on the you know, the 2001 debate that Luis brought up
okay.
from earlier,
yep.
you know, with the turning point and all that stuff. He says, Paul and Andy, we all love Drew, but Tom's first start was in week 3 of 2001, which is, of course, the start of Patriots history, according to the Patriots Media Relations Department.
Indeed, indeed.
From the start of the 2000 season under Drew, we averaged 16.4 points per game and went 5-13. With Brady, we averaged 25.1 points per game, a 53% increase in production, and went 14-3. Andy makes a good point about the teams rallying around the new quarterback. After that devastating Miami loss in Week 4, Brady did something he's never done since. He publicly called out the veterans on the team for lazy practice habits. Coincidence? Dr. Z had them ranked 31st in the league and called them a bunch of skimpy rejects. In November, Ron Jaworski said he thought it would take 3 years for Belichick and Pioli to turn the team around. Here's a lot of stats here that I'm not going to read. Only the 1980 Raiders have ever won a Super Bowl after allowing more yards during the season than they gained. But it was close. Their differential was just minus 17 yards. The 2001 Pats, meanwhile, gave up 470 yards more than they gained. To put that in perspective, the 2001 Lions, led by Monty Morningwing and Charlie Batch, finished just below the Pats' yardage differential at minus 527. The Lions lost their first 12 games and finished 2-14. While the Pats went on to win the unlikeliest Super Bowl in league history. We all respect Drew as a classy guy for the way he handled himself in what must have been a humiliating situation, but please don't try to argue with a straight face that Drew could have taken that team to a winning record. Did that offensive line not repeat their 48-sack performance from a year earlier because of rookie Matt Light or Mike Compton, or was it Brady? Did Antoine Smith start running somewhat effectively because he miraculously became a better player, or because the short passing game opened up some lanes? At least you admitted your Drew bias, Brendan. Well, basically, Brendan didn't say anything that we didn't agree with.
Right.
I said emphatically that the number one, first and foremost reason for the turnaround was Tom Brady. Tom Brady did things that Drew Bledsoe wasn't doing. It's quite simple. Now, I will argue with a straight face that I think that team, if they had the same luck that they had, like you talked about your butterfly effect thing, mm-hmm. I mean, if, you know, instead of a turnover to lose a game in overtime, David Patton is still going to be unconscious and allow the Patriots to keep the ball to kick the winning field goal in overtime, if those things still happen, the Patriots would have had a winning record in 2001, with or without Drew Bledsoe.
Possible.
I don't think they would have made the playoffs. I don't think they would have gone to the Super Bowl. I don't think any of that. I think Brady had some specific games that Brady won that I don't think Bledsoe would have. I mean, I can't state it any more clearly than that.
Word.
But I think it is conceivable that the running game could improve, and I do think that when you're talking about Sauli Asaya as compared to Mike Compton, yeah, the line was different. Matt Light as a rookie was better than Max Lane playing with a club on his hand at tackle in Drew Bledsoe's first game under Belichick against Tampa Bay. Do we remember that? Mm-hmm. When Bledsoe got sacked 6 times in the first game against Tampa Bay? If you don't think that offensive line would have allowed Tom Brady to get sacked 6 times, you're the guy that shouldn't have the straight face while saying that. Anyway, George is next up.
Uh-oh. Where's George from?
Doesn't say.
Okay.
I was asked by some coworkers about the graphics on
George?
The field at Gillette. The ones in question are near midfield and near the sidelines. Do you know what these stand for? Yes, it's a symbol.
No, we don't know.
Gillette
we don't know.
It's the lighthouse. Let's see.
It's clearly the worst logo in professional sports, I guess.
It's clearly the least recognizable logo
no
in
one
professional
gets
sports.
It.
D is in Tampa, Florida. Have you guys heard anything about Tyrone Poole? Do you think he will be back with the Patriots in 2006? Sorry if somebody else already asked this question. D in Tampa. Well, we're kind of split, I think. Andy thinks he will be back. I don't.
I think one of the two could be back. I put them in the same class.
Well, you can't think that Starks is going to be back, do you?
I don't know. I don't know, Paul.
Well, let's put it this way. Either one of them is, they're both going to get released and will have to re-sign for the minimum if they want to be
right.
back.
They both make more money than they're worth.
And I don't think that they're going to do that.
So do they sign another veteran corner?
Could be. I'd like to take a shot at actually spending some money and signing a guy like Nate Clements.
Good luck with that.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't think it'll happen.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't think it'll happen.
Because of money?
Yeah.
Or because they don't, you don't think that they think he's that good?
Money. I think they think he's pretty good.
And I'm not sure how good they think he is.
But
I think he's better than they think he is.
Well, you're usually twisted on your talent evaluations.
Right.
I mean, you think Dominic Davis stinks and he averages 88 yards a game.
Anyway, I think my talent evaluation's been pretty solid.
I don't know about that. I'm just trying to argue.
I don't have to bring up Bethel Johnson, do I?
What about him?
I told you what he is.
What?
One-trick pony.
So you got one right in 4 years?
I've had a lot of guys. That has
that's
what
why
you
I don't think he
from
can
Bethel
play.
Johnson.
Okay.
You're expecting him to be fast and return the... Yeah, that's right. I was right in what I projected. He just never developed beyond anything.
You thought he was going to be much better than he was.
Oh, much better?
Yes.
Much better?
Much better than
I
he is.
Disagree wholeheartedly with much better. I thought he would in some way evolve, and he hasn't. You could argue that he's devolved, if that's a word.
Dave is the New York Pat fan.
De-evolved or devolved?
Whatever. I don't listen to you, as you say.
Suck it.
I'm from New York City. This is Dave, and this is my first time listening. I like the show thus far. My question is, well, first of all, welcome aboard, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Before we give you a question. Wow, that was kind of gay. My question is,
Dave,
what are the Pats going to do about running back? Do you think we could get something good in the draft at this position? Andy, you've been looking at the draft prospects. What can they come up with?
I think they could. I think they're going to have a chance at a running back as that shakes out with the 2 through 4 Reggie Bush omitted from the top four running backs. I think there's a chance they could get one. But I also think there's a chance they can get a pretty good linebacker should they choose to go in that direction with that pick. So I think there's a chance they could fill one of what we project as two pretty high needs on this team. The question is, which do they put a higher value on, and which guy can help them sooner? I mean, there's going to be some guys. The guy I've been throwing the name out there, Abdul Hodge, inside linebacker, Iowa. If Kirk Ferentz says he can play and Bill kind of likes the physical, is that a guy you go after? He's rated as the top inside linebacker. We know how high Bill places a personal recommendation from somebody he respects.
Right.
So.
And we've also heard Bill talk about a lot last year in particular. He hasn't necessarily had, quite frankly, a lot of respect for the linebacker core that has been coming out of college in recent years.
Right. And beyond Vilma and a couple people,
right?
That he
there have
really
been,
liked.
You know, there's been some guys like Vilma that he liked. DJ Williams is another name that we've heard about that he liked. But for the most part, he hasn't been enamored with the caliber of athletes playing linebacker. They haven't necessarily fit the Patriots system. And he said flat out, there's been some guys that might be good in other systems, but for what we're trying to do, he doesn't necessarily think they possess the size and skill package to play the inside 3-4.
Even more so, even beyond the physical. You know, we've talked about Lofa Tatupu maybe not fitting here, had a great year.
I think that's
year.
A really good example.
But what about just the mental? I mean, you talk to everybody and how active the linebackers are in this defense, how much is going on. Even if he thinks a guy has the physical, can play. Abdul Hodge, he can play. He could be an inside linebacker. But does he say, it's going to take me a couple years? You got to weigh that into that whole value equation where if this guy can't help us for 2 years, is he a good first-round pick right now? Or do I take a chance with a guy in the third round or the fourth round and say, in 3 years, he might be as good?
It depends.
Is there a way
just,
you can
it depends on how good you think your roster is right now. You know, we've talked about, we've had some emails say how they think that they're right there and ready to win the Super Bowl. And we've had, you know, Phil and Austin who said he thinks that they need more help than most people are saying. If the Patriots think that they're right there, then I take the shot with a first-round linebacker, not necessarily relying on him to come in and give me 115 tackles next year.
Well, you could be hurting at linebacker.
Well, I mean, I think you
kind of have three guys right now, because I don't include Willie McGinnis as just a surefire lock with an $8 million cap number.
Well, he's
plus, he's 85
released.
Years old.
True. Willie McGinnis is going to get released.
Right, but beyond that, he's 85 years old.
Right.
So I don't just automatically say, oh, he's going to play another 16 games at outside linebacker and not miss a single play and the percentage of snaps be the highest on the team. I mean, that's kind of a bold
assumption.
What
you got out of him last year, I think, was remarkable.
And if you don't have him, what do you do? All of a sudden, now you got three guys.
Give me another question.
You got Matt Chatham or
Give
whoever.
Another question, Andy. Where does Mike Vrabel play?
Inside right now.
Right now?
Yeah.
Where do you want him to play?
Well, that depends on who the other three guys are. Right now, I think he's your best option as your second inside linebacker. I think you're better served. You have a better chance of finding a guy to replace Willie McGinnis as an outside linebacker than you do to replace Mike Vrabel as an inside linebacker.
I probably agree with that.
But I think he's shown he can be successful at both.
Mm-hmm.
I think pretty highly successful at both, too. I don't think you're losing a ton with him on the inside or the outside or, you know, vice versa, whatever. But I think you're more likely to just say, I can get by with X player on the outside. I think they showed last year it's tough to get by with bad inside linebackers.
And I think that they showed last year that, you know, we had this impression of the team and the organization that it didn't matter who the players were. Well, we saw last year that it matters.
But we've seen in the past Matt Chatham play outside. We've seen Tully Bantakane play outside for a short period. Was there a short period last year where Chad Brown and Monty Beisel looked good? Because I don't remember it.
I would say more so with Beisel than Brown, but no.
I mean,
not in general.
They've gotten by with guys on the outside. I think the nature of the position, they can kind of get by with a guy out there. I don't know if they can just get
by.
But
I wonder
inside.
If you had, see, like, I thought that with Beisel in there against Jacksonville, for example, in the playoffs, you were fine. That's what I'm saying. I was wondering, when I was starting to say, how much everybody improved. Because Will Fork, we didn't think, played very well. If
Or how much
had,
just Beisel with Brewski.
Beisel had the opportunity
or,
to play
you know.
With Vrabel or Brewski next to him.
Right. That's
with,
a fair,
with the quality Vince Wilfork, would you have
question.
Noticed the difference?
Right, that's
much.
A fair question.
I don't know. And I'm, you know, I'm not a football
but
guy.
I
don't know the answer to that.
I don't know. I'm one of those traditional guys. Strong up the middle.
Sure.
Give me Brewski and Vrabel in the middle, and I'll make do on the outside kind of thing.
I think that
I think there's more scheming
I think your
there.
Points about Chatham.
It's
and,
my old
and
rule.
Dantican
I'd much rather
active.
Stink against the pass because I think Bill can scheme a little more. Against
the
run,
there's
you
not
can't
a lot
stop
you can
it.
Do.
If they're just running up the gut, they're running up the gut all day.
And the clock is running, and you're getting demoralized, and you're beat up, and
yeah,
you know, all kinds of stuff. Negative. All right, a couple more emails here before we call an end to this this extravaganza. Sean is in Halifax, Nova Scotia. I just caught the tail end of the conversation about running backs, which we're just continuing right now. Before we morphed off into a linebacker.
I was like, we were just talking linebacker.
Well, we started with running.
Oh, yes.
Do you think there is a chance, any chance, that they may pursue Jamal Lewis? He fits the hard runner style that BB and Pioli like. Any thoughts? You like Chester
chance,
Taylor
I just there. Don't, from his, I look at that one from the other perspective of the player, and I got to think there will be more attractive alternatives out there. And I'm not even focusing on money. I'm just talking about playing time, situation, comfort. I got to think there's maybe a better fit for Jamal Lewis out there.
I
think Taylor's going to end up in Baltimore. It seems like they want to re-sign him.
Yeah, it does seem like they want to re-sign him, and I probably agree that Lewis personally probably needs to go and sign a low one-year offer, probably around the minimum, if not much more, and then have a big year and then cash in. That's probably what he's going to be looking to do, and he's not going to want to do that in New England, not knowing for sure if he's going to get the carries.
It's not a good year for him to be coming off a bad year and be free agent because there are guys like Edgerrin James and Sean Alexander, big-name free agent running backs. There have been years, I mean,
but you know,
there's
funny.
Been no running backs out there.
It's not a good year for Edgerrin James and Sean Alexander for
right.
different reasons,
right.
though, you know, with the whole CBA stuff.
Right.
Henry is in San Antonio, Texas. Thanks for reading my email. We need to lock up Adam because, Paul, you're right. Dallas will take a shot at him immediately. They'll make him an offer he can't refuse. And, by the way, I think that Poole won't be back. What do you think that the chances are the Patriots go after Corey Chavis from Minnesota? He plays both corner and strong safety. Corey Chavis is a name that's been up there. Tom,
yeah.
You know, when he actually does grace us with his presence, is pretty high on Corey Chavis. But I don't know
popping
if that,
off about other stuff.
I don't know if that is just his... His
yeah,
kinship at being a draft
Will
guru.
Arrington. I mean, LeVar Arrington. Who's Will Arrington?
I don't know. Is that kind of with my Zuriel Harris?
I don't know. But he also thinks, you know, LeVar Arrington is going to be playing linebacker for the Patriots next year. So.
And
about
he
al- that.
What about, he also thinks Adam Archuleta can't play.
KP.
Can't
and I
play.
Think he could be productive and versatile in Bill's system.
So it'd be interesting, but I think Chavis is he's a veteran defensive back that I think fits that kind of mold. I don't think he would break the bank at this point. You know, I don't think he's as good, but I think kind of in the mold of what you signed Rodney Harrison several years ago. A guy, you know, who's been around the league and might be looking to come to a winning organization. Don't think he would cost as much as Harrison did. Don't think he's as good as Harrison was.
I don't think he's
But I
close.
Think he's a guy with some versatility that can play. And he knows a little bit about the draft, so we could probably utilize his skills in that regard.
Yeah, because he'll be available to us.
I'm sure he would be. All right, we're going to put a wrap on this one today. Next week, just to reiterate, Tom and Andy will be headed to the Combine for the in Indianapolis. So look for Patriots.com. Look for updates on potential Patriots and what's going on out there in Indy. At the Scouting Combine. Fred and I will be here manning the fort, and we'll have a PFW in progress for you at noon next Wednesday.
Fred will be sure to give out the number.
Yeah, Fred will be sure to give out the number that I only give out, you know, 25 times, but Big T in New York couldn't figure it out because he's dyslexic and can't write down a number.
All he was saying is he wanted the number.
That's all I'm saying. But you better run and hide, Gary, because he's coming after you.
I'm going 5,000 miles away.
All right, so did I miss anything else in terms of bookkeeping?
Nope.
All right, well, let's put a merciful end to this one. Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, thanks to the G-Man inside the glass. See you next week.